go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And we are off and running, hot diggity dog, on this seventh day of December 2018, a day which will live in infamy. And of course, you know, back in 1941, the infamy was perpetrated from outside the United States. Now every day we live with infamy from inside the White House of the United States. So there's that. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday on the front porch. And that means that here in about an hour, we will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and the Stress Line and get that little thing we do here, which is so unique to this format, going. That is to say, we will the Sparky will shine the Bob signal up off the clouds, and people can follow the breadcrumb trail to the old hollowed-out tree that we rent from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable around which we gather for each and every Friday on the front porch. Of course, there was no Friday on the front porch last week because we were gone, and damn, that week flew by in a hurry. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. So, and I suspect, given the news of the day, there will be no small amount of stuff to discuss this evening. It might get a little rousing. Of course, that's the cool thing about Friday on the Front Porch. It seems always to get, you know, rousing. So we'll get it all going, like I said, in about an hour or so. Of course, professional speaker here with professional microphone. You can only expect so much out of me. Of course, at the beginning of every program, we have thanks to extend. Yes. Thanks to our subscribers. And for this day of the month, the 7th, we have only three. We have only three subscribers, so if you'd like to be a subscriber, this would be a great day to sign up for that 16 cents per hour of programming, that less than half of a McDonald's hamburger, that 30th of a cup of corporate coffee that you'd be laying out to support the Hornet $10 a month. We have only three subscribers today, one of them being Dr. Allen down in Texas, who continues his efforts toward making Texas a better, greener, more peaceful place. Thank you, Dr. Allen, for all you do down there, and thank you for your support of the Horn. Thank you to James as well. Thank you very, very kindly. And thank you very kindly to Reed. Those are our subscribers for the seventh day of the month. Thank you, one and all. Maybe, oh gosh, if you could have some company, that'd be wonderful. Because remember, if we were to add a brand new subscriber with every program, and of course we don't, by this time next year, I would not have to talk about fundraising anymore. Wouldn't that be awesome? But that's not where we are right now, so that's just how it goes. Well, thank you very, very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. Hot on both streams, Senor Bob. Muchas gracias. What's Brother Deacon in Spanish? I don't know. I don't speak Spanish. But thank you. Thank you for letting me know, because not having tech gremlins at the beginning of the program is always a biggie. Yes. Now, where do we stand as far as the week and as far as the month of December, seeing as how this is the first the first week of December. Well, goodness me, we are at we lack $380 to finish the week on schedule. That's not nearly as bad as it could have been. We had a wonderful night last night, and I want you to know that I was a bill paying maniac today and last night. That was a tremendous help. And so, among other things, Ferg and I were able to get our prescriptions filled today. And, you know, me continuing to take my blood pressure medicine and stuff like that really goes a long way toward continuing to have this radio program because, well, you know, corpses don't talk. Yes. So thank you. Thank you again. And like I said, we've got 10 at $38 or 38 people at $10. And we will be done with fundraising for the week. So thank you again. And we'll talk about it as the program goes on into the evening. Of course, the PayPal link is over there at headon.live. If you want to become a subscriber, when you click the PayPal link, just put a check mark in that box that says make this happen every month, and you can set it and forget it. And that's where we find ourselves. Just a note, this isn't a criticism, no, but because of the way PayPal's been behaving of late, to our buddy Clarence down in South Carolina, I did not suspend your payment. I did not suspend your monthly subscription. Apparently PayPal did something squirrely, so just to let you know, because I see these things all the time, and you didn't do anything, and I didn't do anything, and PayPal won't admit to have done anything, but it's probably there. So that's where that is. Anyway, $380, and we'll be done with the week, and that will be fan-freaking-tastic. Thank you very kindly to Steve in New York, loud and clear on TuneIn from Costco in East Harlem. Welcome to Costco. I love you. Go back and check out the time machine there. See if that thing's still up and running, would you? Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into things. Let me check on one thing. Well, this is cool. Our buddy Johannes in Colorado sends us a note based on part of last night's filibobster. Subject line, Schumer and Manchin re Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee ranking minority seat as discussed by U-12-6. Hey, Bob, got a couple of emails, first from Friends of the Earth on 11:30, and second, a petition from Credo Mobile Action on 12:05. Both asked for action, and I acted. I called Schumer's office and then signed the Credo petition addressed to him, both strongly opposing Manchin's appointment. Of course, I'm not a constituent of either of them, so who knows what, ha, weight my actions might have, but I suppose that one more voice couldn't hurt. I can only hope Senator Chuck will, however inadvertently, actually do the right thing, you know, for once. All the best to you, your family, and to the Horn Family Community Congregation. Signed, Johannes in Colorado. Well, thanks for taking action. I mean, I know I get into all kinds of crap every time I suggest that anybody might want to do anything. And, you know, hey, Bob, stop telling us how to contact Chuck Schumer. Well, remember, we're progressives. We're liberals. That means we talk collectively and act individually, whereas over on the other side, they talk individuality, but they act with ruthless efficiency collectively. But thank you, Johannes. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. A little Spanish instruction, courtesy of Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana. That would be muchas gracias, hermano de con. De con? It's that close? It's that near? That's that cognate? Who knows? Who knew? So, I will try to remember that. Muchas gracias, hermano de con. He said with his terrible stay thirsty, my friends, Spanish accent. That would be, yes, our old That's old cousin. Who did Brother Deacon Asa name him the other night? Yes, old cousin Javier Kincaid. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. It looks like Flavio wants to get the ball rolling subject matter-wise. Subject line, there's that word again. There's that word again. Pendency. Cohen is so effed. Quoting from the Michael Cohen sentencing memo, which was released today, which didn't really work out at all well for Michael Cohen. The following quote. While Cohen's provision of information to the SCO merits credit, his description of his actions as arising solely from some personal resolve, as opposed to arising from the pendency of criminal charges and the desire for leniency, ignores that Cohen first reached out to meet with the SCO, Special Counsel's Office, at a time when he knew he was under imminent threat of indictment in this district. As such, any suggestion by Cohen that his meetings with law enforcement reflect a selfless and unprompted about-face are overstated. Pendency. Yeah, that's just one of those lawish words. It doesn't throw me for a loop when I see it. To be pendent is, you know, it comes from the same word from which we get the word pending. In other words, pendency is lawyer geek speak for while this thing was pending. Mm-hmm. But that's the big news of the day, or one of the big news is. Michael Cohen's sentencing memo has been filed. And it appears that young Mr. Cohen was a very, very busy man once upon a time. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Among other things discovered today was that back in November of 2015, before Donald Trump had even come down that escalator to tell the world about the Mexican rapists, Mother Russia was already reaching out to try to help him, let's say. Putting out those first feelers, those first tendrils of invigility. That's probably not a word. But trying to inveigle themselves into what they suspected would be the nascent Trump campaign. It was November 2015 when Michael Cohen had a little chat with Russian agents from the sentencing memo. In or around November 2015, Cohen received the contact information for and spoke with a Russian national who claimed to be a trusted person in the Russian Federation who could offer the campaign political synergy and synergy on the government level, the memo says. The defendant recalled that this person repeatedly proposed a meeting between Individual One, that's the new name for Donald Trump there in lawyer land, and the president of Mother Russia. The person told Cohen that such a meeting could have a phenomenal impact not only in political, but in business dimension as well. Referring to the Moscow Project, the Trump Tower Moscow Project, because there is, and this is a quote, no bigger warranty in any project than consent of the president of Mother Russia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, apparently, Cohen didn't follow up on the invitation. But the question is, did he convey that information? To say, you know, his boss, the hairless Haldol, aficionado. We don't know yet. Synergy on the government level. I love that line. Political synergy. Are you kidding me? Donald Trump wouldn't recognize the word synergy if it showed up wrapped in $100 bills. But what mattered was that Michael Cohen did. Yeah. And then, of course, there's Viktor Wexelberg. And he's one of the Russians that decided to get chummy with Michael Cohen. He's Ukraine born. He's very rich. And has had lots of fingers and lots of political pies in the United States. And after the nightmare that transpired on November the 8th, 2016. He began bragging, Viktor Wexelberg did. According to a new article courtesy of Bloomberg, Viktor Wexelberg boasted about having the pull that would be needed to achieve relief from the sanctions about which Mother Russia was so very, very concerned. Ah, okay, well, we've got to back up for a minute. We've had a correction to Jeff from Hellhole Indiana's translation. Flavio, who would know, says Brother Deacon is Hermano Diacono. Still pretty damned cognate. But it's got as Flavio notes, more of a Greek flavor. The deacon at a church, a diacono. Which in that sense, I can parse it out. That means someone who is with God. Or it seems to, if my etymology makes any sense. Okay. But anyway, back to Viktor Wexelberg. He's been slapped with sanctions in his own right as of shortly after March 2018, when he was questioned by Team Mueller, and it cost him in the interim something on the order of $3 billion of his now, again according to the Bloomberg article, $13.4 billion fortune, because market values declined in the minority stakes that he held in companies in, say, Switzerland and the Russian aluminum company Rusal, R-U-S-A-L, and his pal and oligarch and fellow Putin toe-sucker Oleg Deripaska, again, intimately tied in with the Trump, the Trump regime. Well, Oleg Deripaska was president of Rusal. Another $2 billion of Viktor Wexelberg's money are tied up in frozen assets because of U.S. sanctions against Mother Russia. Mm-hmm. And so, yes. Apparently, he sang about his connections to Michael Cohen and, in particular, told them about hundreds of thousands of dollars of payments that the U.S. affiliate of his company had made to Cohen as attorney for you know, Julius Geezer. Oh, there's that curse again. May you live in interesting times. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, just a quick follow-up, because the Meghan McCain-Joy Behar feud over on The View got mentioned the other day. I think it was Reggie who mentioned it. Well, Meghan is wasting no time pogo sticking up onto the cross and nailing away at her own palms. She's officially pissing and moaning now. She had a chat with Pete Davidson. Mm-hmm. Because Pete Davidson got himself in some hot water over some remarks recently. And he said, Pete Davidson talking about the kerfuffle he got into over a Navy SEAL wounded in Afghanistan. Davidson said, "No matter how hard the internet or anyone tries to make me kill myself, I won't. To all those holding me down and seeing this for what it is, I see you and I love you." To which Meghan McCain replied, "I do think it's different when you're someone like Pete Davidson or someone like us. It's just not social media. Google me right now. There are articles written about me the past few days. What a huge bitch I am. How awful I am. The negativity and nastiness I've brought to the show. It's real. It's not just social media. It's the media as well." I know what it feels like to be hated in the same way Pete Davidson does. I'm not asking for sympathy, but I felt extreme compassion for his post. Poor baby. Get off the cross. We need the wood. It's winter. It's cold outside. Oh, so what else do we have this evening? Well, you know, big news. We have a new we have two new nominees to discuss. Former W Attorney General William Barr. He's 78 now, and he's spent time out there inveighing against the Mueller investigation, which would naturally draw the happy attention of Julius Geezer. So at some point, I suppose, in the new Congress, we will have confirmation hearings for William Barr, and he will sail through. And then he will be officially in charge of the Mueller investigation. So I guess if you're, pure speculation here, if you're Bob Mueller, then you know you have an external timeline to work with. Now, what's that, Robert? Robert in Australia wants to know, how do you nail yourself to a cross? There's no way to hammer in the last nail. It's like that puzzle with the golf tees in the form of a triangle, where you have to jump them around till you've only got one little golf tee left. Not easy to do. But you start with one hand, or you can start with the feet. If you start with the feet, then you've got at least a little bit of a prop to stand on, I guess, and hurts like hell. But you do your feet first. Because that way you can kind of hold a nail with your mouth, and once you've got the feet done, you can do the off hand, and then when it comes to that last hand, you've got to drive it in with the side of your head. That's how that works, Robert. I mean, I know it's complicated. Yeah, as to Meghan McCain, Steve in New York points out, wow, That's some first-class privilege with a capital privilege. It is. It certainly is. But like I said, we have some new nominees. One of them's William Barr, and Bob Mueller now has an external timeline with which to sort of work. I mean, the hearings haven't been scheduled yet as far as anything I've read today says. But the other one is more interesting. It is not as weighty, but it is more interesting. And that is, of course, Heather Nauert, N-A-U-E-R-T. And the story about the nomination over at the Daily, the UK's Daily Mail, tells you everything, because it's kind of salacious, that paper. But it tells you everything you need to know about why she got the job. Now, this is Heather Nauert, whose only qualifications for the job include being a Fox attack blonde and not quite 2 years as the official spokescreep for the Trump Department of State. And by official spokescreep, I mean professional liar. If one has a somewhat nostalgic view of where this country has been and where we would like to go, and, well, nostalgia for where we've been and perhaps rose-colored glasses for where we would like to go, then one can say, yeah, that doesn't exactly sound like ambassadorial material to me. I mean, just thinking back over the years, Andrew Young of Atlanta, well, he had diplomatic experience that began during the civil rights struggle. And he had experience dealing with government that extended through his government service as well. He comes immediately to mind. Nikki Haley, Nimrata Haley, at the very least, had been governor, for what that's worth, of the failed state of South Carolina Stan. Granted, there's lots of corporations that have come to do business in South Carolina Stan, but that's because the people of South Carolina, the government of South Carolina Stan, doesn't have the common good sense that God gave a stewed turnip to make them pay any taxes, or to stand up for the rights of working people so that the people working for these corporations can have a decent living. Hint, making $13 an hour building ostensibly German cars and Boeing aircraft that sell for millions and millions and millions of dollars, or provide millions and millions of dollars to the corporation, well, that's not exactly an enlightened employment policy now, is it? No. But Heather Nauert, well, like I said, if you go to the Daily Mail article, you can see exactly why Julius Geezer nominated her. Because the photo of Heather Nauert that they use goes back to her Fox News TV Radio Rwanda days, and she's sitting there perched on a couch on the set at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, dressed in the required accoutrement of most females who are on camera at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, namely a dress with a hemline so short that when she sits down, well, you can almost see paradise by the dashboard light. It's short. Lots and lots of legs sticking out there. What was it that... never mind. And, of course, she is blonde. Whether she's really blonde, we don't know. We just know that they like attack blondes over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. So now we have the question, and if I were members of the morning zoo crew there at Moscow 99.7, Moscow in the morning, I'd be planning my President of Poland phone call to her and be ready for it the minute she gets into office. Ooh, wait a minute. I think we got a cowbell for this. Yep. Courtesy of Flavio. Heather Nauert, she reminded him of Ivanka. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty damn good. You were great. You reminded me of Ivanka. Why do I hear the theme from The Crying Game every time I say that? That's just something that happens inside my own little noggin. Yeah. That's good, Flavio. That's good. Oh, don't feel bad, Jeff. You're fine, Jeff. Jeff with an apology. Sorry, Bob. I guess I stand corrected. I took my last Spanish class in high school 45 years ago. Well, good for you for remembering that much of your high school Spanish. I'm proud. I think you should be, too. And again, I'm sorry for the damn computer noise. It's a pain in the ass. That is a loud-ass fan. I got to try to do something about that over the weekend. Maybe sneak out and get a USB keyboard or something. As touching upon Andrew Young, Steve in New York says, yes, but Andrew Young probably never made the varsity squad. Tracy, founder of Tracy Rocks, how short was her dress? How short was it? Her dress was so short. No, I'm not going there. What do I look? Do I sound stupid? But let's just say you probably couldn't wrap up a decent-sized, pork roast in it. Not a lot of dress there. And of course, Donald Trump will be quite happy if she wears her stripper wear there to the United Nations. Because, frankly, those are the dresses that they wear at Fox News, TV, Radio Rwanda, those before the clothes come off dresses from, like, a strip joint. Yep. Ron in Raleigh says, Heather don't know diddly. Don't you need to know something about international relations and be able to bring tough-minded, clear-thinking to negotiations, not some dim-witted right-wing bullshit? Well, you know, in a normal world, yes, Ron, but we're not in that world anymore. We left that world on January the 20th, 2017. And thus far, no looking back. And now, toward the end of the day, the Paul Manafort memo has been released. And if you thought the Michael Cohen memo was a little bit scathing, well, this one's a humdinger. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The New York Times reporting in an alert that hit my email just a few minutes ago. Maybe it's already hit yours. Headline, Manafort lied about contacts with Trump officials, Mueller says. Adam Goldman and Sharon Lafreniere are the reporters on this story. Dateline Washington, federal prosecutors on Friday accused Paul Manafort, President Trump's former campaign chairman, of lying to them about his contacts with Trump administration officials and other issues, including his interactions with Konstantin V. Kalimnik, a Russian tied to Moscow's intelligence services. Well, howdy do. What is that? A Russian tied to Moscow's intelligence services. That sounds like a lot of words to say spy, or spook, at the very least. After signing a plea agreement in September, Mr. Manafort, quote, stated he had no direct or indirect communications with anyone in the administration while they were in the administration, and that he never asked anyone to try to communicate a message to anyone in the administration on any subject matter. That's from the memo. On the other hand, however, the Mueller team did say that Manafort tried to hide information from them about exactly those sorts of contacts with administration officials, telling, as the memo notes, multiple discernible lies. These were not instances of mere memory lapses. That's polite lawyer speak for that man would rather climb a tree and lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth. And among other things, the Mueller team indicated that they might very well file more charges against him. Among other things, there was also a lie about a $125,000 money transfer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, big fun with Manafort. It's been a busy day for the Mueller team, and one suspects that they will, in short order, begin acting in with the full knowledge that they're kind of on the clock. Darlene in Connecticut, Cohen trying to portray himself as some sort of hero who came clean because he cares about this country was bullshit. Fell totally flat with me. His perfidy precedes him just like anyone involved closely with Trump. I don't even like that Flynn will most probably be getting no jail time. Flynn knew better and should be held to an extremely high standard. Flynn, a highly decorated military man and former intel chief, sold this country out. Someone of his caliber saying, lock her up, in reference to Hillary Clinton, still shocks me whenever they run the tape. Well, yeah, but he just kind of goes to show over in Republican land, if the check clears, you'll do almost anything. Because for all their talk about religion, what it boils down to is a Republican's God is money, mammon. Darlene continues, whatever Flynn has provided and is continuing to provide the SCO for evidence and cooperation will hopefully pass the smell test, literatim, and be worth the get-out-of-jail-free card. As much as I like and appreciate Robert Mueller and what he's doing and has done so far, this dog don't hunt for me as far as Flynn's concerned. And I can understand that, because what a gang of disloyal, I would say treasonous if treason were not so well defined in the Constitution. Traitorous. There. Punks, we find that infested the upper echelons of Republican politics. And to come back for just a moment to William Barr, what does it say about that guy that he's willing to go to work for, you know, Donald Trump? And factor into this the business about Rex Tillerson. As political gossip goes, that was downright juicy, wasn't it? Because, Tillerson had a conversation with, I believe, who was it, Bob Schieffer? In the past few days, in which he described trying to work with Donald Trump. He said he actually only met him when he was asked to be Secretary of State. He was speaking in Houston last night, and Tillerson began to open up. And it comes very close to, life imitates art. It comes very close to that segment that I still find so insanely giggle-inducing from Saturday Night Live, where John Goodman played Rex Tillerson and said, well, you know, it just didn't work out, Anderson. One day you're the head of a mighty and powerful and wealthy American multinational corporation like ExxonMobil, and the next day you're getting fired by a guy who sold meat in the mail. But Tillerson said, among other things, so often the president would say, here's what I want to do, and here's how I want to do it. And I'd have to say to him, Mr. President, I understand what you want to do, but you can't do it that way. It violates the law. Now, if you want to go to Congress and try to get the law changed, I'm your man for that. I'll happily go and do it. But that wasn't good enough for Julius Geiser, because, of course, Julius Geiser wants to be the dictator of Merca. I mean, it's they almost immediately didn't get along. And I guess it's deemed a little bit shocking that he would speak the truth about Geiser Disgustus. But he still, you know, he still held back a little bit. He told Bob Schieffer in Houston, he said, he acts on his instincts. In some respects, that looks like impulsiveness, but it's not his intent to act on impulse. I think he really is trying to act on his instincts. It was challenging for me, coming from the disciplined, highly process-oriented ExxonMobil Corporation, to go to work for a man who's pretty undisciplined. Now, here's the part we got to pay attention to. Doesn't like to read, doesn't read briefing reports, doesn't like to get into the details of a lot of things, but rather just kind of says, look, this is what I believe, and you can try to convince me otherwise, but most of the time, you're not going to do that. Well, none of this sat well with the Chlamydia Claudius, who at 3:02 p.m. this afternoon took his tiny thumbs to his phone to tweet the following. Mike Pompeo's doing a great job. I'm very proud of him. His predecessor, Rex Tillerson, didn't have the mental capacity needed. He was dumb as a rock, and I couldn't get him rid of him fast enough. He was lazy as hell. Now it is a whole new ballgame. Great spirit at stake.
We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you?
Jesus, it's a high school fucking pep rally for him. Getting shit right doesn't matter as long as we get great spirit. Christ. I don't like Rex Tillerson. I don't agree with Rex Tillerson. But I've just got to guess that you don't get to be CEO of ExxonMobil, being as how they've got to be so huge and rich and evil, without having some brains. Now, the question is, will Rex Tillerson get down in the mud and go for a wallow and fight back against the stupid? Or will he simply adopt that stance of that old adage that says, never wallow with a pig in shit. You both get covered in shit and the pig likes it. Yeah. But he doesn't like to read. And oddly enough, from the funeral of George H.W. Bush, we have that in graphic, we have proof of that in graphic form. Because we all saw 94-year-old President Carter and his lovely wife, Rosalind, well, they had a copy of the Apostolic Creed, and they held it in their hands, and they read it. So, too, did Bill and Hillary Clinton. So, too, did Barack and Michelle Obama. But not melanoma, and certainly not Donald Trump. You know, I mentioned when I came back from the Molloy Mountain Retreat book signing weekend, I mentioned that let me see, just keep the train of thought going here. That I'd been through Andrew Johnson country there in northeast Tennessee. And I mentioned that Andrew Johnson came late to literacy in his life. There was never any indication, however, that Andrew Johnson didn't like to read. Just that no one taught him to for a long time, relatively speaking. But in Donald Trump, we have a guy who does not like to read even something as brief as the Apostolic Creed. And instead stands there with the thing with the paper clutched in his tiny little hands over the fly of his suit pants and scowls while everybody else is doing something that Christians have done for something on the order of 1700 years. Maybe it would be instructive just to look at the Apostolic Creed itself. I mean, like I said, the Methodists say it, the Presbyterians say it, the Lutherans say it, the Catholics say it, I presume the Greek Orthodox say it. Us Baptists, we never said it. It's not long. And the reason I'm sharing this is to give you an idea so that you can see in your mind's eye what was on the paper that he was too afraid to read. Now, this is a guy who has stood with his hand over his heart, who loves the national anthem, who can't even get the national anthem right. He's such a moron. I believe in God the Father. No, not with that voice. Please, stop that. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Now, this is not a doctrinal analysis or a theological discussion. This isn't even a religious story. This goes to prove the degree to which this freak is terrified of written words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. These are the words that everybody but him were reading. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Or, as I prefer the more ancient version, the quick and the dead. Only two kinds of people in this world, Andy, the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That's it. But this man, whom Rex Tillerson confirms, does not like to read. Well, that was a bridge too far for him. Now, Steve in New York, with a little pushback, says, doesn't like to read. I disagree. I don't think he can read, or at least at a very elementary level. See how slowly and strained he is when actually reading something. Yeah, or maybe he's too vain to wear a pair of glasses. Maybe he can't see. I don't know. We never get to see the teleprompter that he's looking at when he gives when he gives prepared remarks. So we really don't know how big the words are on that screen. What's that, Flavio? Even the Muslim read the Apostolic Creed, just saying? Really? Prince What's His Fuck, who was there at the funeral, read it? Was there footage of it? Because I'd think that might get his head chopped off when he got home. I mean, that can't be something that pleases the police for the police commission for the prevention of vice and the promotion of virtue there. That wasabi hit squad. Meanwhile, Steve in New York says, on a serious note, this latest foray into the degradation of the United States is telling. It also reminds me of my friends born on the coasts wondering how it is that Trumpansies just don't see that he's continuing to make us a laughingstock. Then I tell them again, the Trumpansies look at us being laughed at as Trump sticking it to them. They like it.
He sure is
giving them pointy head coastal elites the what for.
I think that's what Steve's talking about. And I tend to concur. But no, Mike Pompeo is not doing a great job. Mike Pompeo, you know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. Mike Pompeo briefed the Congress on the slaughter of Jamal Khashoggi and said,
we don't have any evidence showing that King Prince Mohammed bin Salman had anything to do with it. I asked them. They told me.
Then Gina Haspel showed up and said, no, we've got a high degree of confidence. Mohammed bin Salman ordered it, orchestrated it, watched it happen, and then covered it up. Of course, it's worth mentioning that before he became CIA director or the Secretary of State, that Mike Pompeo was an evangelical fundy Republican who used his evangelical fundiness to attack Muslims. Go figure. I guess, he was attacking Muslims that couldn't write a check. Muslims that weren't, filthy rich Saudis. And it bought into, among other things, creationism and all manner of anti-intellectualism. The neo-maxi Zoom dweeby in chief thinks that he's doing a great job. Wow. Oh, okay. Clarification coming from Flavio. Damn it, I meant the Muslim Obama. Duh. Sorry, I guess I was a little off my game there. By the way, Hung Like Jesus says, oh my God, Bob, I can still say that creed just like I said it last Sunday. We are of the Methodist persuasion. Well, Methodists are into it. Brother Deacon Asa says that would be the Hermano Diacono Asa says, memos be damned. Please, please, please don't nobody say that to noted liberal commentator Peter B. Collins. Russia had absolutely positively nothing to do with the Trump campaign. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And then finally, just one last thing before we move over into the note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. You'll notice, says Ron, I'm sure you notice that he can't spell. If you can't read for shit, you can't spell either. I think he's a diagnosed dyslexic. Well, dyslexia is no sin and no shame. There are lots of people with dyslexia who have overcome it and learned to deal with it and are brilliant nonetheless. I think, to be quite honest, Ron, I think it goes much deeper than that. I think he simply, I don't know. You think maybe he was deprived of oxygen at birth or something? Something has impacted his brain over the years. And, of course, we know what my theory is, my best guess, is that back during his sexual Vietnam, he picked up a dose of syphilis that he never got treated for. Maybe he was asymptomatic, and by the time it was too late, it was too late. And so now his brain is just crawling with spirochetes, and he's slowly but surely, definitely surely, devolving and degenerating into the madness that tertiary neurosyphilis undeniably brings. Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so, and one last thing to add to the discussion as we move into the Friday on the Front Porch Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, the Bob signal having been flashed off the clouds and whatnot. News broke this afternoon in the trial of, a Nazi. Identified in news articles as a white supremacist. James Alex Fields Jr. Had his murder case go to the jury in Charlottesville today. Or today they returned a verdict. And he has been convicted. But goodbye, Nazi. Goodbye. Found guilty of murder today. For the slaying of Heather Heyer. He was also found guilty on 5 counts of malicious wounding, 3 counts of aggravated malicious wounding, 1 count of failing to stop at the scene of an accident involving a death. In other words, he's going to the big house in Virginia. His sentencing hearing begins Monday morning. But his troubles aren't over because now he faces a federal hate crimes trial. It's hard to celebrate something like this because it's a murder. I would far rather than sending this little fucker to prison, this filthy little goddamn Nazi, I would rather that Susan Breaux still have her daughter, Heather Heyer, with her and in her life and in her world. And one wonders how Mr. Fields' convictions are going to go over in a state like Virginia that has a real, shall we say, penchant for incarcerating people of color. I wonder how his presence in the prison there is going to go over. I guess he's going to probably have to join up with a white supremacist gang, and well, let's just say he'll have to pay for his protection. Meanwhile, in regard to Mike Pompeo, Darlene in Connecticut says, I think Mike Pompeo is a zealot. It'll be interesting to see how long he's able to maintain Trump's favor. Eventually, Trump turns against everyone in his cabinet. Shall we place bets on how long it takes? Maybe Trump suffers from ADHD in terms of his inability to sit still, read, and comprehend for any extended period. And I don't mean to disparage people with ADHD. I understand completely. Or maybe Trump has PTSD. That can mimic ADHD symptoms. We really don't know the extent of his father's abusiveness towards him, after all. That's true, too. But I really think my spirochete theory needs to get at least a mention there. Come on. Sexual Vietnam? Who talks about sex that way? That tells me that somewhere along the way, he knew he was doing some pretty skanky, sketchy stuff. So there's the filibobster for this Friday on the front porch, the 7th day of December. And yeah, all day long I've been thinking about the 7th of December, 1941. It bears mentioning, it bears remembrance. I remember how my father told me that day, and you know, an entire nation, an entire generation's life changed forever that day in this country. It had been changed forever in other parts of the world long before, you know, going back to 1939, 2 years. But my dad told me that on December 7th, 1941, a Sunday, he said in his high school classes, and he was finishing the first semester of his high school senior year. No, not his senior year. His sophomore year. Up to that point in time, he had never even heard of Pearl Harbor, and barely of Hawaii. But all of a sudden, because this country would begin actively fighting an enemy almost immediately, whereas there would be only sporadic contact with the Germans through the North Africa campaign and up the Italian peninsula in Europe, and not really get after it in massive scale until, say, June 6, 1944. The American people's attention was turned to tiny islands in the South Pacific. And they watched and hung on every word. And, of course, a couple of years later, when he graduated high school, he, like most of his male classmates, were gone. Off to the military. And the women, the girls with whom he graduated were off, in many instances, to the war industry. My mother and her sister working on in a munitions plant on the eastern shore of Maryland. So yeah, the day bears remembrance. 5 past the hour, time to go over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable again. We have $380 to raise this evening to finish the first week of December. And it would be awesome if we could. So we'll see how that turns out. so far, an hour and 5 minutes into the program, we're at zero. But maybe it won't stay that way. Let's run over and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob. I'm just disconnecting my jet engine.
Oh, the what, the kerosene heater?
Propane heater.
Oh, yeah, propane.
So, what's up?
Having one of those Fridays, you know, trying to figure out who the criminals are, who talked to. It's turning into a game of who talked to which Russians.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't have any problem figuring out who the criminal was yesterday. Took a trip up to the pot shop with a Vietnam veteran friend of mine.
Oh, yeah? And what flavor so did you get?
Oh, I got pineapple OG in there right now, but I'm having trouble with my vape. The battery's not charged on it, right?
I got
Crippler, and I forget the other two.
Are they all the same strain, or is some indica, some sativa, and some hybrid?
Some sativa, some indica. I only got four bags.
Oh, so. Do you ever buy the oil cartridges?
No, but my buddy was there to get one. That was interesting because they didn't sell the big pipes there. But the gal at the pot store was really helpful. So he goes, you just right down the street here, there's a little tobacco shop, and they got them in there.
Oh, the batteries?
So, the pipe itself.
Hmm.
All they do is sell the. They had the cartridges. They didn't have any of the pens. They were out at the pot shop.
Right.
So we had to go to the tobacco shop. We go into the tobacco shop. You walk in there, and there's a wall about 4x6 or something, just nothing but bongs. The other side of the wall there, behind the counter.
Glass, plastic, and now...
they were all glass.
Oh, were they? I've seen them now that are silicone. You know, kind of squishy, rubbery.
Oh, I didn't see anything like that. It looked like they were all glass. Blown glass.
Well, I must admit, I'm intrigued with the oils. We of course don't have legal weed here, or THC or whatever we want to call it, but we do. You know, you can get CBD, and so in an effort to see if that really is beneficial for various and sundry things, I got myself a cartridge of CBD and have been honking on it here and there, just to see if anything comes of it, and it's interesting. It's interesting. I think I actually am getting a little bit of relief.
Hard to tell, huh?
Well, I mean, it's unless you're being like really conscious of it, you know, you don't walk around going, "Hey, I'm not hurting." You just feel something a little closer to normal. On the other hand, if it has, you know, if it has THC in it, you can do, "Oh, well, I'm a little bit stoned," and so you know, you see what I mean?
Yeah, head and a body.
Right. Yeah. Or stoned versus not stoned. I mean, there's no psychoactive component to CBD.
Okay.
It doesn't even give me the munchies.
Well, anyway, I was going to tell you the story. I posted a link to it.
Yeah.
The freeway closed down yesterday. My buddy knew about it. As soon as I got in his pickup, we get up to Anderson, which is south of Reading, and the traffic is backed up for like two miles, so we had to get off and take a detour. But coming back, we used the north side coming down, and we could see what the actual site where they shot a guy dead, who they had this high speed chase, and they spike stripped and everything. He went off the road. He got out. And he started shooting at the cops, and two Reading police officers shot him dead. And there was just a ton of people there, and Kip said, oh, there's a body laying on the road. I said, well, this is about 11:30 and
wow.
6:30 in the morning. But anyway, come to find out, the guy was on probation. He got arrested for last summer. He stole a van filled with show dogs that somebody had left running at the local In-N-Out Burger in Reading. And then they put up a reward or something for it, the story I heard. And the guy abandoned the van out in some wooded area where it was close to where people would hear the dogs. So they found the van and everything, but they figured out it was him. I don't know if it was fingerprints or whatnot, but they only gave him probation. Go figure. And then he gets into this deal yesterday morning and tries to shoot cops and ends up dead. What a moron.
You know, there's some people you just can't do anything about the stupid. By the way, I saw, and this doesn't have the quite the same panache that yours did, but Jesus, I saw a story accompanied by a horrifying photograph out of the campfire. And they're saying that a lot of the people who died couldn't get away because they were elderly and disabled.
Yeah.
And the photograph was one of a bunch of charred wheelchairs. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't think we have begun to even, I mean, maybe people closer to it are, certainly, but are we even close to understanding the true nature and scope of what a horror that was?
We did know a little bit about it, where it was moving at 8 football fields a minute, or second, or something like that.
It's a breathtaking horror.
All you have to do is look at the videos of the people trying to get out. And imagine if you weren't on that road getting out. That was even scary. Coming down the hill, Chica. Kids just went back to school last Monday from in Butte County because of the smoke and everything.
So, I mean, have they brought in, like, temporary schools or whatever?
For the Paradise people, some of them have been set up in churches. But the people from Paradise are spread out all over the place. I mean, there's some people down in Corning. There's people here in Red Bluff. There's people in Oroville. Remember where the dam is? Probably people down in Yuba City, Marysville, which is south of there. You know, finding places to rent.
And you know, winter's not even here yet, and there's a legitimate housing crisis. How cold will it get in that area?
There's a lot of in Paradise.
Yeah.
Oh, it snows up there, usually once or twice a winter.
Good God.
Give me an idea. Because Chico's down in the valley floor and Paradise is up on the foothill. It's on ridge lines. That's why the fire burned up the ridges and traveled down the ridges and up the ridges. But there's a couple feel-good stories from the deal. It was a guy that had an RV he wasn't using, you know, stretch motorhome with sliders and everything on it.
Mm-hmm.
Brought it down here and donated it to a family, a woman and her couple kids. I mean, they were, you know, her kids were like early teenagers. Just up in gave it to the RV to him. And there's a couple other stories like that too. And there's FEMA trailers in Chico now, in North Chico they're setting up. Boy, they're a box kind of a thing, man.
Yeah.
They're just four wall siding and
But they're still trying, on a
steel bed, you know, a kind of like double or triple axle trailers.
Yeah.
And they only got space for, well, about the trailers they got will sleep about 500 people.
And that's not near enough.
Well, there's the original count of 27,000 that evacuated. I'm sure some people's houses didn't burn up, were spared, but I don't know the exact number anymore.
Amazing.
I don't think FEMA knows either because they're all spread to the wind. Unless they're still in Chico. Chico's where they got the main FEMA offices.
Right. Well, let's run over and because I haven't talked to Steve from Georgistan since last week. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Bob, what a party, man!
Wasn't that just something?
You guys broke me. I hadn't had a drink since.
Oh, I didn't. What do you mean, you guys? I mean, I wasn't. I wasn't pointing at you with my elbow, hollering party foul or anything.
Bob, admit it. You brought the Crown Royal with you.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah. The 1.75 of Crown Royal.
Rick, hey, Steve, I got to tell you, my wife wants you to save up those bags.
Okay.
And she's thinking about making a like a quilt out of it.
Okay. Sure.
Hey, that'd be a cool thing to do with Crown Royal bags.
I mean, she washed all the other ones that you'd sent.
Well, they were dirty.
The man, well, she. She's weird like that.
No, that's
she doesn't know me.
No, it's not about you, Steve. It's just
right.
Stuff gets washed. Got to wash it.
I didn't even know they were washed. Well, I guess they are. I sent them an assortment.
Yep, they all came out good. I mean, we gave away a couple of these things, the black ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Yeah, I'll send them to you. Right now, there's a liquor store that pays you $1 a piece and sends it to your favorite charity. And I think that's what Karen's doing it, but I'm sure that'll be discontinued soon and as soon as that's over. But right now, it's not even an issue because, like I said, I've had to slow down since I had the surgery and all.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, if I get any more, there's probably more laying around here.
It's just talk. She's got them stuffed away somewhere.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's more around here. I'll ask Karen. And
oh, that's kind of cool, though. I mean, that's yeah. It's soft fabric. I bet it'd make a damn warm quilt. That'd be nice indeed. But no, I'm guilty. I freely confess guilt of having introduced you to the pickleback, but.
And I wanted to tell Tracy, if she's listening, she got to try it. It's hard to believe something tastes that. I couldn't even taste any. What'd you put, Irish whiskey in that? Is that what it had?
Yeah, you do it with Irish whiskey. Jameson's, Bushmills, you know, that sort of thing.
And what was it? Pickle juice? I didn't really watch you make it.
Yeah, it's just, well, I mean, in this case, it's special pickle juice because it comes from Secret Sandwich Society and they make their own pickles and it's got more flavor than your average pickle juice does. But yeah.
Are you mixologist besides being cook?
Oh, no, there's no mixing involved. You do the shot of Irish whiskey, and then you do the shot of pickle juice.
It's good stuff. Good stuff, Bob.
It's the official shot, I guess, or unofficial shot of the tourism area I live in.
Okay.
There's not many people that don't get into picklebacks. At least who, you know.
I wouldn't be one of them.
If you like pickle juice or sauerkraut or anything along that line, I don't see how you could not like it, you know?
Yeah, the pickle juice actually has a calming effect with regard to the whiskey, because sometimes that can be kind of harsh going down, but the pickle juice sort of makes it more mellow, let's say.
And the nice thing is, in the long run, because of the salt content of the pickle juice, it cuts into the hangover potential of the liquor.
Well, by God, I must have been doing something wrong.
Well, I saw the bottle, buddy.
Between that and Rick's magic, you know, geez, what a night.
Yeah.
A lot of fun, though.
Now, what the hell did Rick do?
I'm not saying anything. We'll just call
Rick. Let's just say I had some heartburn medication that I brought with me from L.A., okay? We'll leave it at that.
From the heartburn medication store.
Yes, exactly. I'm sticking to it, damn it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
It worked. I didn't have heartburn. That's for damn sure.
Oh, geez.
You guys are irrepressible.
Unconscionable. But it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. One of those nights, you know, you'll take to your grave.
It was the damnedest, rainiest day I think I've seen in years.
Yeah. Have you ever had that much fun in the rain before? You know?
I don't think so, no.
The only thing we didn't do is there was no mosh pit at the Malloy-a-thon. That's the only thing we didn't have.
Yeah. Well, upon request, you know.
We could have done it. We could have had some Smashing Pumpkins music and, you know, played in the mosh pit, you know, but we didn't.
But it's great to meet Rick and Tara and hang out with Mike and Bob. And
that was a blast. Mike,
yeah, it was really cool, man.
Yeah, as well.
And
well,
you met Susan. She was a member of the old Skype group.
Oh, yeah.
Susan.
Yeah.
Chris from Germany, she was so nice. I mean, she was the first person I saw when I walked in there. I didn't know where anything was, and she come up, "You must be Steve. Bob's that away," you know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got kind of a funny story. I don't know if I told everybody this, but I know the other horn members don't know about it. They were doing, Kathy was like doing special dedications for Mike. Like they were videoing like maybe one or
this
two
is
clips.
All, yeah. This is all a secret.
Well, Mike doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, well,
don't worry about it. Okay. Here's
hopefully
a warning,
nobody
folks.
Will nobody will write him and rat us out.
Yes, folks, please keep it in the QT. Anyway, I was like in the women's room, which is where they were filming it, with Kathy. She was going to film me, and then all of a sudden Susan comes in, and then I get this idea. Let's see. Mike's expression is keep it lit. Oh, let's light something up and share it. So we were like, it was filming, and we were like, you know, Kathy, me, and Susan, we just passing it around and, you know, saying goofy stuff. It was pretty cool. It felt like I was in high school again, or, you know, whatever, smoking here in the girls' room in this instance. Yeah, exactly.
And Helen, and I didn't get to see much of it, but Helen is a cute little town.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a beautiful lake too. I got to enjoy the lake on Sunday because I stayed an extra day, as you know, Bob.
Yeah,
and I posted a couple of pictures on Facebook. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Wasn't that crazy? I happened upon a crash in L.A. on the first day back. It was a barbecue. The car had like rolled over. It was on fire. It probably had only happened maybe 5 or 10 minutes before I got on the scene. And unfortunately, it was a fatality, you know?
Oh.
And I contrasted that with the beautiful peacefulness of Helen, you know, which was taken where, you know? Crazy, you know? Crazy. But it was beautiful. It was a wonderful
day. It's a nice little town. Karen and I can be tour guides. We go there so often. You know, it's I tell you, if you go there during the spring, summer, it's even more enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was amazed at the fall colors that were still evident, mm-hmm. like in the trees and stuff.
Yeah, that did blow my mind.
Yeah.
And then the next day after the rain passed out, the next 2 days all the way home were just picture postcard perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
there's a restaurant called the Cafe International that has a big deck that sits right over the river, and they have the best food. I mean, the sandwich called a Camel Rider. It's just, if you're ever there during where the climate's favorable, you need to check that out.
So, oh, I'd love to go back down there sometime. It is. It's just gorgeous.
Which reminds me to change gears a little bit, Bob. We need to get this horn-in thing together. But don't do it in the middle of the damn winter, you know. Christ, we're all too old for that.
Yeah, but the thing is, that because of the way the season works here, you'd have to do it before either right before the season or right after the season.
Yeah.
And spring here can be downright cold.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot. Right. It's just
the season here doesn't end until the third Saturday in October.
Ooh, when's it start?
There's no official start, but it really gets going in earnest around Memorial Day, because by then school's letting out and things like that. So, you know, I know the perfect time to do it, simply because there's this weird little trick that obtains in Appalachia. It never rains. You're not going to believe this, but it's true. It never rains on the first Saturday in June around here. I mean, you might get a little drizzle at the beginning of the day or a little shower at the end, but the first Saturday in June, you can count on it like clockwork. But again, that's after the season started, so it would be A, more expensive, and B, a lot more difficult in terms of accommodations. But see, and they were houses. Those weren't cabins. But those houses we stayed in up in that retreat area, we've got oodles of those around here. I mean, that's a big draw. Some of them have hot tubs and stuff like that. But we could have a heck of a good time. I just, you know, it would be probably hatefully expensive, but you know, I could put on a big feed, big barbecue.
Well, anything worthwhile is going to cost you. I mean, let's face it, nothing's free.
But it would cost less either before or after the season as opposed to in season. Oh, by the way, food porn. Let's shift there. We're about halfway through the program, and again, we got $380 to raise this evening, and we're still at zero. But food porn, I had an idea. It just kind of came out of the blue. And Agnes had a doctor's appointment today over in Somersville. And on the way back, we were talking about this notion I had. Because, you know, I just, even when it's cold, I need an excuse to go out and play with the smoker. Because it gets me outside moving around. That's good for me. And I had noticed that they had a really good price on whole pork loins at the Wiggling Pig. And for some reason or another, I got this notion, and I went in there, and you know, they've got a real live, honest to God, experienced, talented butcher. And I told him what I wanted, and he went and grabbed a pork loin out, opened it up, and so we cut it. You know, not a pocket. We cut it all the way, but we left a hinge, and folded that part, you know, over and out. And then we cut it the same way coming back in the opposite direction so that it lays flat. And so what's going to happen now, tomorrow, I'm going to brine it. I'm going to do two things. I'm going to make a holiday brine using like allspice, mustard, you know, mustard seed. Allspice, mustard seed, cinnamon sticks, clove, nutmeg, and put that all in the brine and soak the pork loin for a couple of days in that. And then I'm going to get a bottle of brandy, and I'm going to rehydrate some raisins and cranberries and dried cherries. And, yes, prunes, which are otherwise known as dried plums, and apricots and dried apple. Rehydrate all that in brandy. Use a little bit of shredded, and if our buddy Todd is listening, he's going to go, ooh. Some shredded Dubliner cheese, and put a layer of that, roll the pork loin, another layer, roll it, another layer, roll it, until it's all rolled up together, and then tie it off with some butcher's twine, and smoke it, and then sear it. And I got a feeling it's going to be some kind of good. All that wonderful dry, the concentrated flavors of those dried fruits brought back to life by the brandy, and cut it long way, cut it cross sectional, and I have, yeah, that's going to be gorgeous.
That sounds too good, Bob. That sounds very decadent, you know.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think it'll be really good.
Yeah,
it's something I'm not going to do with my new smoker.
Oh, I love your new smoker.
All I have plans to do in there is a tri-tip the next couple of days. I'm not really the smoker operator.
Who is?
My stepson's wife is. She screwed, don't tell anybody, but she screwed up the jerky thing, the first deal like I posted.
Oh, when you've got a brand new device, it's going to take a couple of times before you actually, because you got to figure out how it behaves. But that'll be something, because the nice thing about the electric smokers is you can set it and forget it.
Yeah, and we had a nice space there.
Yeah, it looked like it was tucked in a nice place.
Well, that's the outside of the rock shop area. There's electrical plug-ins on either side. My dad used to have a big rock saw out there. But he gave that away to my cousin. So, and then there was something else on the other side. I wired the damn thing, but with parts I scrounged off of hospital job.
Yeah, because the neat thing about those electric smokers is that they are essentially glass front ovens. You put the wood chips in the little thingamajig in the bottom.
Yeah, and there's a tray for water in there, and then there's another drip pan below that.
Oh, I have a feeling good things will happen.
Oh, we got a bunch of fish that the neighbor gave us, and they want to smoke up fish. So hopefully it'll come out right. We got some salmon, and we got some rockfish from the coast.
That'll be tasty. Look around and see if you can find any alder wood. Alder goes really well with fish.
Oh, I think she got some at the store the other day. I'd have to go around the corner and look at the smoker. There's a bag. She's got bags. She got at Walmart the other day.
So since you've got your jet going, how cold is it out there, Sparky?
I'm not going to say. It's crazy because I'm a Californian. I was going to tell you, we only got two seasons there, and you know that, Bob.
What?
Fire season and not fire season.
Right. Everything's on fire and everything isn't on fire. Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's fairly decent. We got a nice 67 degrees going on here in the... in the sensational Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. It's probably in the low 30s outside right now. And the thing is, the first day of winter, not mid-30s, it's 35. Winter's not even here yet. We've got, another 2 weeks of these darkening days, but then it's going to start getting better, and my attitude will improve. So, hey, Rick, let me ask you a question, buddy.
You bet.
What is the practical effect of having someone named as an unindicted co-conspirator now? Because Trump is officially an unindicted co-conspirator now, individual one.
In which filing? I kind of missed.
This is the Cohen.
Oh, in the Cohen filing. Okay. Well, I guess the effect of that, I mean, there's no official effect, but it, let's just say in normal times, it would have a normative effect. Like, for example, that was one of the things that I think ultimately, you know, caused Nixon to have to resign, because you actually had, you know, politicians who, you know, put country before party back then. You know, there was, and so, you know, several, you know, high level Republican senators marched across the street to the White House and, you know, basically told Nixon that, hey, man, the jig is up. You know, the articles are being drafted. We're going to vote to convict you. You know, you better, you know, resign here if you want to maintain some honor. But we're way past that. That ship has sailed, like, you know, with the, you know, that ship sailed away back in, what, 94, when Gingrich, you know, became Speaker and, you know, started the whole, you know, war, you know, between the Repubs and the Dems as far as the most recent incarnation of it. And it got nastier, you know. So practical effect, very little. I don't know if it's going to have any effect, Bob. It is going to put pressure on the Dems to consider impeaching Trump, but unless they're assured of having the votes, you know, or unless there's some deal worked out whereby, you know, Trump's going to resign.
That could whiplash. That could have a serious whiplash, and I know that's a concern of a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, do not go after the king unless you can cut his head off, essentially, you know, the old expression.
Right.
Right?
Right, because we don't need another six more years of this. I mean, so, I don't know if we can take another two.
So, okay, so a second question, a follow-up on that, Rick. Why individual one? Why not just refer to him by name?
Well, the idea is to protect the guilty, Bob, so to speak. DOJ policy is that whenever you have a indictment, information, whatever it may be, that identifies people that aren't a part of the case, that you generally use pseudonyms for them, okay? And so that's why, you know, a lot of times initials are used. Here, DT would be too evident. But, I mean, individual one was the Republican nominee for president, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not actually concealing anything.
No, that's true. Well, I guess they're following the letter of their policy to the extreme, Bob. That's I suppose what the DOJ is doing here. You know, not identifying individuals that aren't directly implicated in the case. Was it an interesting document, the Cohen sentencing recommendation?
Oh yeah, they want to send him up for no less than 51, according to the recommendation of the special counsel's team. They want him to do no less than 51 months.
And that would include the time for the tax charges too, right?
That's everything.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that seems to me to be a pretty fair sentence. I mean, you know, whenever you cheat the government out of that much in taxes, there's got to be a price to be paid in terms of, you know, months in the hooscow or whatever, you know. You know, you've got to send a message, because
so let me ask you, is there any doubt now? I mean, can a reasonable argument be made that Donald Trump is not an unindicted co-conspirator?
They don't refer to him as a conspirator as such, but you can, in so many words, though, you can infer that. Is that what you're saying, Bob?
Well, I mean, there's the case lays out a damn conspiracy.
Okay. Yeah.
And the plea is to the plea is to the substantive act, and to the extent that there was an agreement made to commit the illegal act, that makes individual one a conspirator. And the fact that he has not been indicted makes him an unindicted co-conspirator.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Am I okay here?
I think you are. Yeah. I mean, you did have the coffee in law school, right?
I did several.
I'm trying to.
I mean,
the language
in the memo says that Cohen did what he did, quote, in coordination and with and at the direction of individual one.
Okay. Just like he said so in his plea agreement, I think. Yeah, it's a conspiracy, Bob.
I'm of the opinion this is just the tip of the iceberg, too. And I also am of the opinion that Flynn was probably wearing a wire. That's why he got off so damn easy. So when all that comes out, you know,
yeah,
it could really hit the fan.
Well, see, the thing that Flynn had going for him, well, I was going to say he didn't have any substantive crimes other than lying to the FBI. He did because he wanted to basically get paid by the government of Turkey to kidnap that guy who's living in the Adirondacks or whatever, who's supposedly tried to help overthrow Erdogan or whatever the hell he's called. So, yeah, I guess he did have some underlying crimes. But, you know, Cohen, I mean, you know, there was an actual monetary loss to the government, you know, as far as cheating on the taxes. That was a big deal in terms of the government having to get its pound of flesh, let's just say, you know. They take tax evasion very seriously, you know. They don't want people to think that, oh, you can just, you know, you can cheat the IRS, nothing will happen to you. Don't worry about it. You'll get a slap on the wrist. Maybe 30 years ago that was the case, but not anymore, you know, generally. So,
I find it very curious. Think that, you know, we have an unindicted co-conspirator president, and apparently ho hum.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of a definition of a Trump Hansie. They don't let the facts stand in their way of forming an opinion. Let's just say, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right?
Yeah. Hey,
truth is not true.
Let's see what's happening over on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the front porch.
How you doing, Bob? It's me, Reggie, from Decatur, Georgia again.
What's happening, Reggie?
Well, aren't you glad that we avoided yet another averted yet another government shutdown? Aren't you glad of that, Bob?
Yeah. Good. I mean, I think it's nice if people can get their Social Security checks.
Yeah,
and we're not furloughing a bunch of government workers at Christmas time. That's a decent thing.
Right, but how many more of these government shutdowns must be, or threats of government shutdowns must we have to endure and go through until we finally stand up and say enough is he goddamn enough? No more government shutdowns.
Well,
no
but, but Reggie, the only way we say that is by doing it at the ballot box, and so we did that on the House side, and I guess we're going to play this game of financial brinksmanship all the way to 2020 now.
Right, but that's 2 years away from now.
Yeah.
And I just hope that the House keeps it up on what they're doing, an excellent job of keeping him in check as much as they possibly could. And did the George H.W. funeral, the Ugo R. Fun Fest go down as you predicted? You know, it was 2 days, you know. He had a 2-day funeral, man. One Wednesday, another one yesterday. Was it as you predicted, Bob?
A grief orgy?
Yeah, a grief orgy, yes. Did it go down as predicted? I mean, you know.
I think it certainly played as I expected it to.
What, with the news media fawning over it for 2 days straight?
Yeah, and engaging in some collective amnesia about, you know, what he did.
His past,
and who he hurt.
The dark side. Yeah, the dark side. Imagine when Bill Clinton passes away. You think that's going to be 2 days?
Oh, well, sadly, I think what we have to think about it probably first, as sad as it makes me to contemplate it, you know, the oldest ex-president is now Jimmy Carter.
Right. What if he passes? He's, what, 93 years old?
He's 94. He's the same.
He's 94. Age. Still be...
He's the same age as Poppy. In dramatically better health, even though he kicked brain cancer's ass.
Right.
But I do not expect Republicans to behave with anything near the aplomb that, and nor do I expect the millionaire for-profit media to behave with anything approaching the aplomb they showed with George H.W. Bush, because what we'll get instead is an endless litany. Of the an endless repetition of the word malaise.
Right. And they'll attack him, even though he still builds houses for people, you know? And they'll bring up, you know...
Well, no, I think they'll talk about his good humanitarian work with Habitat for Humanity. And
yeah.
I think, but what they won't do is admit that he was actually a damn good president who got screwed out of his second term. That's where the great forgetting will take place, Reggie.
Right. So he got screwed out of this time by Ronald Reagan, as you call him.
Yeah, Ronnie Reagan and the dirty bit of business that they pulled with the mullahs in Iran. You know, hey, don't do a deal with Carter. We'll have a deal when Ronnie gets in. Which was essentially the same sort of dirty business that the Republicans and Nixon did. When Johnson was trying to find a solution to Vietnam, the Nixon campaign went and deliberately undermined U.S. negotiations in Vietnam. And Johnson can be heard on tape saying, God damn it, this is treason.
Right.
But he couldn't do anything about it.
No, he couldn't. And they'll bring up the hostage crisis and the gas shortage crisis of the late 70s. And, you know, and the White Rabbit. You know what I mean? And Billy Beer.
Well, yeah. Everything that they didn't do with H.W. Bush, they will do with Jimmy Carter. But to answer the question that you posed a minute ago, Jesus Christ, when it comes time for Bill Clinton's, they will have a masturbatory frenzy. The for-profit millionaire media will.
Yeah, they'll rehash the Lewinsky thing again.
Oh, yeah, Steve, yeah. Absolutely.
They already did, of course. You know. There's been a whole special on A&E. Christ, it ran a week. They will rehash that and run it over and over and over, and it'll be front and center in your face, and it won't be, you know, owed to Bill like this was owed to GW, where they... Gary, newsflash, he's still dead. Christ, did they finally plant his ass? Or Jesus, man. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but Christ, they kept dragging him around here and there and then throw him on a train and drug him around. I mean, enough is enough. I thought he was going to blow out of that casket, man.
I half expected him to say it wouldn't be prudent.
I don't know where they're sticking him in the dirt down in Houston. But, of course, right. At some point in time, we know this for a fact, and it's just sorry. I mean, it is what it is. There's not high enough ground down there to keep him from being floated out to sea at some point once climate change and sea level rise starts getting very, very serious.
Right.
Which is kind of a shame because he was actually a decent president when it came to environmental issues, you know? I mean, unlike most Republicans, he was much
comparatively speaking, yeah. Comparatively speaking.
Yeah, compared to most Republicans, Rick is a pretty low goddamn bar.
That's true.
Right. Right. Like I said before, Bob, if Bill Clinton passes, you know Monica Lewinsky is going to wind up showing up at his funeral, if she ever does that at all. I mean, why can't she keep her mouth shut about the affair? It's 20-something years old, right?
Everybody got to get paid.
Even including her, I'm sure that's her claim to fame, Reggie.
What else she got, bro? That's
yeah,
her
I'm
claim
not.
To fame.
I'm not gonna goon on Monica Lewinsky. I'm just not gonna do
it. Oh, that's good.
Oh, I'm not gooning on her. It's just it is what it is, you know. Well,
yeah, I didn't say you were, Steve. That was not my intent.
No, I didn't mean to come across as sounding defensive. It was just
no. I mean,
I don't think any of us are. It is what it is.
But like you said, they had a masturbatory love hate fest with George A.W. Bush's funeral, which lasted 2 days long. Some love him, some hate him, you know. But they all had a hard on when it came to his funeral for 2 days straight.
And they did the. They didn't even top that. Christ, they drug him around for what? 7-8 days, seems like. Had the horse with the boots going backwards, and it's like, come on.
Jeez, right. Just
enough is enough.
Yeah, buried a guy already.
Yeah. And Jimmy Carter was probably the most moral president we ever had. But, you know, that's none of that. This is ever going to come out when it's his time.
Right. Right. They're going to talk about his negative side.
Right.
Or bring up
how weak he was on foreign policy.
Well, hey, Reggie, it was good. It was good hearing from you, buddy. I've seen a couple of folks trying to get in on the stress line here. So,
hey, Reggie, nice meeting you. I didn't know you were from Georgia. That's really cool.
I am.
Hey, take care, Reggie.
And I'm glad.
Yeah, we got.
Yeah, okay.
Stacy got screwed, bro. But we'll try it again. We'll keep trying. We'll get her.
I'm glad they avoided Donald Trump like the plague when he was there, when his arms folded. They avoided him like the plague. You know, they didn't even acknowledge him. You know, he stood there. Right? You know, they avoided him like the plague.
He was definitely the skunk at the garden party, so to speak, you know?
Talk about a cloud descending over
the proceedings once he walked in. My God.
Everybody's being sociable and chatting and getting along.
Yeah, giggling, yeah.
And he walks in and everybody's like, shit, he's here.
It's like we've had a turd in the punch bowl.
People were hoping he just doesn't show up.
It was the baby Ruth in the swimming pool in Caddyshack. Duty!
And then he handed the Marine his jacket like he was the coat boy. Yeah. What is wrong with this fucker, man? Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I'm still not over that story last night about that poor woman from Guatemala up at his golf course in New Jersey who had to wash his filthy boxers.
Oh God.
Just, you know, ick. Just, All right, Reggie, you have yourself a good weekend, my friend. Take care.
Yeah, you do too, Bob.
All right, later now.
All right, later.
That's Reggie calling from Decatur. And we'll see who rolls in next on the stress line. Note coming from Ron and Raleigh, subject line Jimmy. When Jimmy goes on to his long home, Fox News will have the failed hostage rescue on a loop. H.W. will be buried on the grounds of his presidential library at SMU. No, the W's is at SMU. H.W.'s is somewhere in Houston, I think. Check me if I'm wrong, but they were burying him in Houston, and SMU's in Dallas. So there's that. And something Brother Deacon Asa pointed out, when Jimmy goes, all you'll hear is 444 days, 444 days, 444 days. And that coupled with the loop, yeah, that's what you'll get. That's what you'll get. Note coming from Otto. Bob, you're right about H.W. His burial site may get flooded due to global warming, but then he was Navy, so his casket sailing away might be a fitting event, I guess.
Oh, I'd say it's time for a cowbell, Bob. That was a good one.
Cowbell awarded, Rick. Cowbell awarded.
Yeah, cool.
So 6 minutes before the hour, like I said at the beginning of the program, we can finish the month of, we can finish the first week of December if we raise $380 this evening. And so far, we still stand at zero. So you'll have that kind of from time to time, I guess. But it'd be nice if we could take down a little bit of it so that we're not at 580 come Monday.
Well, Bob, Scrooge gave Cratchit a raise. I just found out today, so I'll go 20 challenge.
Oh, well,
throw it out there.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve. So,
you're welcome.
Steve's starting it all with 20, and that'll get us down to 360, and we'll see where folks go from there. Thank you very kindly, Steve, for getting it all started. I do appreciate it.
We'll call it the Pickleback Challenge. How does that
Okay, sound? All right, that's good. Steve's Pickleback Challenge, or it could be Steve's I Ain't Never Going to Do That to a Bottle of Crown Royal Again So Long as I Live, So Help Me God, I Promise Challenge.
No.
That'll work, too.
Yeah, 1 minute I looked at that thing and it was a fairly freshly cracked bottle of Crown, and then a little bit later that evening, you're pulling it out of that purple velvet bag sitting there next to Billable Rick, and it's like, what happened to that poor soldier?
And then it's time to get the rest of Malloy, right, Steve?
Yeah.
That little liquor store down there in the down in Helen, that's a cute little liquor store right down
expensive,
there.
Expensive though,
right down there.
Very high, Bob. Gosh,
really, for Georgia, those look like West Virginia prices.
No, that's one of the. Now I'm not gooning on them. They're all like there's like three liquor stores in Helen, and they're all just ridiculously high. If you were to go into further towards Roswell or Atlanta, or even Forsyth County, it's probably 20% cheaper.
I saw stuff, because it was just fun to walk around in there. I saw stuff I never, ever, ever see in West Virginia.
Oh, yeah, they do have a nice selection. Nice selection, no question about it.
They had good German Kirschwasser and Himbeergeistwasser and Birnwasser. Which all works out as close as I can figure it out to, it's the German equivalent of making moonshine out of fruit, cherries, raspberries, and pears.
And yeah, there was a restaurant I went to, Bob, called the Heidelberg in downtown Helen.
Highly recommended.
I had the best German beer I'd ever want to have, and the goulash was just tremendous.
What kind of German beer did you have?
It was a Oktoberfest blend, I think, made by HB. Does that sound right?
Oh, Hofbräu?
Yeah, Hofbräu, yeah.
Rick, if you ever go back, I know it's not healthy, but you're on vacation, try their schnitzels, any of them.
Their what?
Schnitzels.
Schnitzels. Yeah.
Oh, schnitzel, the sausages?
Wiener schnitzel.
No, it's a pounded cutlet. A sausage is a wurst.
Yes.
Wow. And another thing I did was we went into the fudge store there, the huge candy store. It was great. We got a half a pound of dark chocolate fudge and some oranges that were covered with chocolate and mint candies. Oh, delicious. They lasted about 2 days, Yeah, it was great. That's a very cute little town. I recommend that to anybody. It's only got 500 people in it. And the weird thing about the town is
they're all in business.
Huh?
It's only got 500 people in it, and they're all in business.
They are. You're right. And they're all into collecting money for you to park. There's no street parking. No free street parking there. So, they got to make the money somehow, right?
Yeah.
Everybody got to get paid.
The ins and outs, there are places where those self-park places where it's like $2, but if you're a tourist, you just drive up on a lot, they're going to hit you for at least $5.
Unless you want to go unless you want to drive a little further and like park in a hotel lot, which nobody knows you're there.
There's two public parking facilities. One's it's kind of the front end, one's at the back, and it's one of them self-pays where you put $2 in the machine and in a card, and then you hang the tag off your window. And that's
Saturday was the first day of their Christmas celebration, and they had all their lights up and stuff as we were driving in on Friday evening, and it looked like they probably do a bang up job with Christmas there.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Their Oktoberfest is world renowned. I mean, it's just a party every night, the whole month of October.
Wow. Well, I have to keep that in mind, Steve. I'd go to the Oktoberfest and see the leads change as well. Both, you know?
At one time, I don't think it's as crowded as it used to be, but at one time on the weekends during October, it took a half hour just to get in there, you know, just to drive into it.
Wow.
You were just sitting in stop and go traffic. But wow, what a party once you got there.
So there was a bar that you told me about that I didn't see. It's called the Grotto. Is that like underneath the bridge?
No, it's the Troll Tavern. When it crosses the Chattahoochee, it's underneath the bridge.
Mm.
And it has really good rock and roll. Yeah. And really good rock and roll live music. And they free pour. They're one of the bars that's still free pour. So you get your money's worth.
Okay.
I don't use those clickers or, you know, measured out or anything. They still free pour, so.
Okay. So how do you access the place? Like, where do you park? And
well, when you go in, you were coming in from the back end.
Yeah.
So you would just make your first left, and back there is where the festival hall is, where they have their Oktoberfest every October. And there's a public parking facility.
Oh, okay. And then you walk down into it? Is that the
idea? Yeah, then you can walk into it. Exactly. Okay. And you keep walking south, and you'll see the bridge crossing the Chattahoochee. You can't miss it. And you look down, there's a bar called the Troll Tavern.
Okay.
So are there any craft breweries in the area?
Yes, there's all kind of custom breweries. They make it on site, in fact.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's a go back and see more kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned you can fly into Greenville and drive in.
Right, and it's the same distance, and you don't have to suffer that Atlanta traffic.
How long a drive is it from Greenville to, I mean, what, about an hour and a half?
Well, if you look at MapQuest, Bob, minute-wise, it's exactly the same. I think it's 82 minutes each way. But you don't have to suffer that Atlanta traffic. I mean, mile-wise, it's the same.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Now, I looked into that airport. There weren't very many direct flights from LA. I don't think there were any.
That's the problem. There's not many connecting flights, and I don't know what their hub is, so I don't know if there's any direct. I'm sure there is, but that's one of our
probably wind up you'd probably wind up flying to Atlanta and then catching a flight to Greenville.
You're probably right there. Sure.
Or maybe I don't know, Dulles to Greenville or something like that.
But when you have your horn in thing, Bob, that's where I plan on going to that airport and then flying into Charleston. I'm not driving into Atlanta.
Well, you'll fly to Atlanta first.
We'll see.
I'm not kidding. Where Charleston's concerned, there are only a handful of places you can go from Charleston: Atlanta, Charlotte, Chicago, D.C.
Well, where's your closest airport?
Maybe Dallas. Well, Charleston.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But
the international.
So to get here from where you are, you'll go to Atlanta. If you were to go to Greenville, you'd get on a plane and it would fly to Atlanta, or it would fly to Charlotte, and then you'd fly to Charleston.
Makes no sense. It's hard to wrap your head around the way.
Well,
they
we're
wrap
just
flights,
we're just a, we're
know?
Just a little nothing airport. with all we connect to are hubs. So that's it. I left out Detroit. You can connect on Delta to Detroit, and get to walk through what I refer to as the trippy tunnel. There's a tunnel with a slide walk through it, in Detroit, with all of these. It's like being on the inside of a lava lamp. It's the dumbest goddamn thing I've ever seen in my life. And there's even a big red stop button on either end of the slide walk. With a sign that says, if you're epileptic, hit this button now, or you'll be a mess by the time you get to the end of this thing, because it's all flashing lights and colors and swirls. And that's why I call it the trippy tunnel.
Hartsfield-Jackson as well. I mean, as far as it's so massive, it's like a city amongst itself, you know.
Yeah, but I like it.
Yeah.
As compared to Charlotte or Chicago or just about anywhere else, it's negotiable. You can get through it sanely. You're not, you know, you're not hiking your ass off the train. I don't think I've ever had more than like a, you know, 200 yard walk in Atlanta.
Have you ever been on the movable sidewalks? If you don't want to take the tram, they've got sidewalks that move.
I always
like
just
a
go
giant
to,
conveyor belt.
I always just go to the train.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool how you get the train to go to the rental car.
Yeah.
Area. Very efficient. Very efficient, you know?
And if you were ever going to somewhere in Atlanta, MARTA's right there from the airport. You just walk.
I mean,
you can walk to it.
Compared to, say, JFK, Hartsfield is an absolute model of efficiency and sanity.
And you know what I noticed about the airport? They put a lot of money into that. They had Toto urinals there. That's the most expensive kind from Japan.
I did not know.
You observe it, Rick.
Yeah, what can I say? I'm a detail guy.
Yeah, that's why you're an attorney.
Yeah, there you go.
And, yeah, answering Marty, yeah, from Charleston, you can get you can catch a flight to IAD, Dulles, but there's a good chance you'll be flying on one of those godforsaken turboprop
commuter
crop
planes.
Turboprop crop duster. You don't even get
it.
Yeah, those things are horrible.
If you got to pee, they ain't nowhere to go. You know, that's the thing.
Well, I've been thrown all over the sky in those godforsaken things, and I won't do it again. I mean, I had my William Shatner Twilight Zone moment a couple of times coming into Charleston on those goddamned awful fucking pieces of shit aircraft. I mean, I saw, you know the crummy little cups, the plastic cups that they'll, you know, they won't even give you a whole fucking bottle, a can of pop. They pour it in that stupid cup. Well, I saw one of the, on board one of those damn planes one time coming from Charlotte, I saw one of those suckers go into free fall. We fell so far out of the fucking sky, the cup stayed up about head level and the plane just dropped out from under it. I mean, I had white knuckles. I was looking out the window, looking at the wing at that evil little fucker sitting there peeling the skin off the plane. I was like, God damn, we are not good. And when we got to Charleston, Agnes had driven down to pick me up in the middle, and it was February, and tornado season had started early. Hang on. You didn't want to hear me sneeze. Tornado season had started early. Tornadoes had ripped all through the southeast and were just blowing, and the wind was blowing hell in West Virginia. And coming from D.C. to Charleston, the pilot comes on, who, by the way, is making roughly the same amount of money as a manager at Taco Bell.
About 19.
And he says
they don't pay him much.
He says if you'll look out the starboard side of the aircraft, you see that big wall of clouds over there? That's a big old mess. And we're going to try fly around it as long as we can. But, well, folks, sooner or later, we're going to have to dive into it. I'm like, well, I guess that'll be fun for you. And we did. And all of a sudden, there was no visibility. You know, it's all fog. And off in the distance, you can see the lightning just turning the inside of the cloud fucking green. And,
oh, geez.
And I don't, you know, you don't know where the, you don't know where the earth is. You don't know where space is. And in the meantime, it's worse than being in a 1972 Ford Pinto with bad suspension, because it's on a dirt fucking road. Because
and trying to stop the thing with wet leaves on the pavement, and when you're like, you know, having a brake
so,
for an oncoming car.
And so I can tell when we begin to make our descent. And still can't see shit out the windows. And hear those engines laboring for all they're worth. I'm expecting to see fucking flak bursts going off around
us. My God, one's going to blow.
And it's like, shit, you know, shit, shit, shit. And all of a sudden, I look out the window, and there's those goddamn blue lights of the runway at Jaeger. And I'm like, shit. And all... And we come howling in onto the airstrip, And we finally taxi to a stop, and I got down out of that plane and got down on my knees like John McCain and kissed the fucking earth. I did. I've never been happier in my life. And I said, look, you know, all due respect to you guys, I will never fly this route again. And I haven't. I've had to go to Detroit, and I've had to go to, and you know, Atlanta, but I will not, I will not take those turboprop nightmares to because some airline doesn't think it's worth a, you know, a goddamn Embraer or Canadair or what the hell ever actual the commuter jet to fly people out of Charleston or into.
Did they ask you how much you weigh? And you better not lie either, you know, because they have to proportion the weight correctly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then there was the time coming back from D.C. where it was just me and one other guy on that same crappy airplane. And even empty, it really got thrown around the sky.
Oh, jeez.
But it's you're not on it long. What is it, a 20-minute ride? It's not that long, is it?
It's not the matter of time. It's
no, it's around an hour to Atlanta, an hour to Charlotte, and about 45, 50 minutes to D.C., And that DC run is the longest 50 minutes you've ever been in the air.
God damn. Let's see, I can drive it in 7. Driving's looking more and more attractive.
Oh, it'd make a lot more sense, especially if you've got decent weather for it. And then Steve adds, by the way, let's be frank, every airport in the New York City area sucks. And, you know, I have to say that's true.
There would be no way to travel by train there, would it, Bob?
Oh, yeah, you could get a train to Charleston.
Christ, it would probably take 2 days, though. You ever traveled by train? They stop at every town between here and your destination. It's brutal.
Up in the Northeast Corridor, of course, it's great if you can afford to ride the Acela. Yep. But around here, you travel on the freight tracks that coal trains run on and beat the hell out of. So it takes 6 hours to get from basically Beckley to DC, and it usually winds up being 8 or 9 because you have to pull over on sidings and let the coal trains pass.
We have got to improve our infrastructure. That's where we are lagging sorely compared to other nations.
Well, and see, the thing is, every one of those railroad rights of way has extra right of way for more tracks. The space is there to build good passenger rail.
It would just make sense. It'd be environmentally friendly. It'd be a fun way to travel. I mean, if you didn't, it didn't take forever and you didn't have to make 30 stops, you know.
Oh, that fast express train I rode from, Belgium to Frankfurt was wonderful. You know, and we were doing 150, 160 miles an hour or something.
But you couldn't tell it, could you?
Oh, it was smooth as silk.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Just beautiful. Yep. Well, hey, unless I miss my guest, Tracy wandered in. Are you there, Tracy?
Oh, God.
She's
here.
We'll,
can you hear me?
No, it's not God, but we'll try.
Bob, pour a pickle back.
Oh, you know, enough with that bullshit.
Right alongside the mayonnaise.
And dip some Kinect in there as well.
God, that just sounds so gross. I'm sorry, I can't wrap my head around a pickle back. Ew. No, even.
Well, it's not like good. The pickle's actually there. It's just juice.
Whatever. It's just juice. It's no.
Yeah, you have to try it, Tracy. You only go through this world one time, man.
Well, you know, I mean, it'll.
No, if I'm going to tell you something that my grandmother used to say when people said that I have to do something. She had
no,
to
you
do
don't
something.
Have to.
Because the only thing I have to do is stay black and die.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. No, she's brought out the. Steve, don't mess with her, man. She's brought out the granny wisdom.
Yeah.
It's the only two things I have.
I didn't mean any offense. I meant as far as you seem like an adventurous person, I encourage you to try.
I am adventurous to a certain extent, but I not pickle juice and alcohol. No. My stomach is curdling just this thinking about it. It's just, no, I can't. I'm sorry.
Well, if we ever have the horn in, Tracy, we will grant you an exemption.
Special dispensation? Mm-hmm. That I don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll, like I said, I'm just now dealing with the mayonnaise thing. So you gotta cut me. Like I said, my trek into whiteness can only go so far and so deep. You know, so that is,
Yeah, but are you okay with my idea for the pork loin this weekend?
Yeah, I was listening to that. That sounds fucking amazing.
Because you know those dried apricots and those dried cherries and stuff are just gonna plump up in that brandy.
Oh my god, I'm like, why do I have a plane ticket to wherever you?
Well, if we ever get if this works out, we get the horn end done, that'll be on the menu.
Okay. And I'll have to, you guys have somebody to take me to the store so I can cook something. I don't know what I would make, but mac and cheese or banana pudding or.
Oh, we could have a blast.
Yo, yes. But yes.
Yeah, let's do this.
As long as there's a kitchen and a grocery store, I'm good.
Hey, Kroger, not just a grocery store. Damn it, Kroger's.
And I could use my points. I could get points there. It was so funny the first time I went to Atlanta to visit my brother and sister-in-law, go to Kroger and, she was punching in her number and just out of whim, I punched in my home number, and I got points while I was there. It was awesome.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all networked.
Well, I didn't know. Yep. So, it's Rouse. I didn't know it was networked. So when I went, I was like, cool. Okay. So I don't know. I came into the show late, and what was happening with Megan McCain? The only thing I heard was white privilege. What happened?
Oh no, she just said she knows what it is to be hated. But she's not going to let. But she's not going to let the haters win.
Well, I can't stand her, but I don't have enough energy to hate her.
Yeah, not worth the effort.
Nor the time.
I got more important things. I got 99 problems, and she ain't one of them.
There we go.
Ooh. Oh, speaking of people with problems, Mr. Kevin Hart. How about that?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Add into that the Academy has a problem too.
Yeah.
Because they got to find a host.
Mm-hmm. I just think they should just do like they were at the automat and should just be self-service.
Yeah, come up and get your damn statue.
And just pull people out the audience.
And the winner is...
Announce it over the PA system.
Yeah. Yeah, you got your best director here. Come pick up your fucking statue. It's waiting for you on the steps. But, I keep trying to get Eliza Schlesinger some more work. She can handle the Academy, and she does, Yeah.
Who is that? Who?
Oh, you've never watched? Oh, she's funny. She is very funny. Eliza Schlesinger. Just look
never
her up
heard
on,
of her.
Look her up on Netflix. You'll laugh your ass off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. But see, the problem, the whole thing with Kevin Hart, of course, he said what he said 10 years ago or what have you. But, on background, and not to justify any, because I guess one of the main things was that he did a bit about freaking out if his son told him that he was gay. But people, don't think people realize just how homophobic it be, especially black men? And then you look at Kevin Hart, as short as he is, he has to make up for being short and black and all that.
And again, comedy's supposed to be honest,
Right, and he's being,
Right.
Look, when I told my mother about me and Jan, she freaked out. And my mother, I'm a grown-ass woman. Okay? So, this is something, nobody knows how they're going to react. You know, everybody tries to say, well, if my child told me that they were gay, I would be loving and considerate and all that. Yeah, no. My mother is the most loving person in the world, and she had a shit fit. You could tell by, if you look at any of the pictures from my wedding, some of the faces that she was making.
I remember watching it online.
Uh-huh. So, it was a stark contrast to, you know, when my sister got married. And, you know, and truth be told, that is why I didn't go to my sister's wedding. Because my mom performed her ceremony. She refused to perform mine. And it was, you know, everybody was, you know, like my sister-in-law, my brother's wife came with their kids, and, you know, people who wouldn't even come to my wedding flew to Oregon to my sister's. You know? So how do you think that made me feel?
Oh, that hurt.
Yeah, damn straight that hurt.
It hurt me tremendously. You know, so I'm like, you know, I had to out because Jan was having hip surgery. So I had a legitimate excuse not to go. But if, you know, really I could have gone if I really wanted to. But I couldn't go and watch what was going to, and I could be, you know, I would not have been good company watching, you know, the exact opposite to what happened at my wedding. So, you know, I'm like, no. And I'm pretty sure my sister and my mom knew why, but nobody, you know, when I said I wasn't coming, people would sense knew why I wasn't coming, and they didn't push the issue. Because you know how family, well, why, you know, you ought to come and blah, 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 blah. No, it was like, I'm not coming, and nobody bothered me about it. They're like, yeah, I think, yeah. So, yeah, no, I just, mm-mm. Like I said, people who didn't even come to my wedding flew to Oregon and drove to Oregon to go to Rachel's wedding. I'm like, no, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to sit this one out. So, mm-mm. But Kevin Hart, you know, when they, you know, instead of him just saying, biting the bullet and apologizing, he doubled down. He's like, well, you know, I've already discussed this and blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter if you've already discussed it, Kevin. Do you want to continue? I mean, you're getting off easy with an apology.
I kind of want to go back, Tracy, for a minute, because you brought something up, and it's certainly nothing that I can, I have no qualifications to comment on, but I would appreciate it if you would expand on it. You said you know how homophobic the black community is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know that.
I didn't realize that either.
It's horrible. It, I mean, especially in the black church, when you know there are gay people within the congregation, especially the choir director and all that, and it's like, it's people know you're gay, but you just don't talk about it. And to sit in church and hear your pastor talk about you're going to hell and all sorts of stuff because you're gay. But they allow you to, you know, to serve the church, especially like the choir directors and stuff like that.
And your money's good in the plate.
Right. Yeah, and your money's good in the plate. But
and these people are supposed to be Christ-like. Come on. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think because people, marginalized people, because I had this conversation with a friend of mine, and I'm like, you know, when you're already marginalized, and you cannot step out and say I'm gay or I'm a lesbian in a community that's already marginalized and is trying, you know, you're going to be either further marginalized or ostracized. So you know, knowing how people are and knowing how the reaction is going to be, I mean, I don't think it's too much any different in the white community, but there's a hyper masculinity within the black community, you know, and you have to.
Would that be the sort of thing that's often referred to as toxic masculinity?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's like that in the Latino community as well. You know, it's
that's wild.
It's bad. And so
well, yeah,
I
it's not particularly good. It's not particularly good in the redneck community either. I mean, just for the record.
Yeah, exactly. And when I heard about, you know, because I hadn't heard about any of this stuff until the whole rigmarole, you know, the whole thing when, you know, shit hit the fan. But I was just like, you know, this comes from a deeper thing, just being simply, you know, homophobic. There's something deeper in this. And like I was, you know, going through a hashtag, you know, I did look for Kevin Hart, and I did not know that Don Lemon is gay. And he actually said, you know, hi, you know, Kevin, give me a call. Let's talk. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come on my show because I'm a member of the LGBTQ community. And I just want, you know, because he talks about what he went through as a black man. He was like 40 some odd years old before he even told his mother.
Wow.
You know, that he was gay, you know, and he wrote a book about his experiences and stuff like that. Again, I didn't even know that he was gay until today did I know that Don Lemon was gay. I mean, I'm not a big follower of Don Lemon. I don't watch, as you call it, Chicken Noodle News, but every so often something will pop mm-hmm. up and I appreciate Don Lemon because he's funny as hell, especially when he goes after Trump. Oh, he was hilarious when he was talking about the funeral. and how he's like, you know, the Obama's better than me because there's no way I would have shook his hand after the way he put me, you know, after the way how horrible he was to the Obamas. And Chris Cuomo was like, well, you know, and basically Don Lemon was like, again, white boy, you don't want to know what it's like to be a black person in this country and to have to sit next to this man who, you know, said horrible things about me, you know, him, horrible things about Michelle, horrible things about their children. And then, you know, for him to even extend his hand, it, because like it's to that point when people get tired of being a noble Negro, you know, and we understand why the Obama shook hands because that's who they are. But it's like, Dowling was like, I'm petty. He straight up said it. I'm petty.
Okay, we've got an observation coming in from Steve in New York. Subject line, homophobia of the black community. Steve says, I realize I'm stepping on a landmine here, but I'm gonna push back a little bit and say that my first serious boyfriend was black. His mother treated me like her own son. And I used to visit their place a lot and hang out with my then-boyfriend and his sister and mom. Steve says, it seems to me that it's more a thing about the black church rather than black folks generally. I'm not trying to step across a line, and now I realize that's my limited experience, but I felt like weighing in given that experience. And there may be some truth. There may be some truth to that.
There may be, like I said, I mean, my mother freaked out, and I, plenty of people who are not in the church are, you know, because my family is not all that religious. And so, oh, trust me, when, you know, I got pushback, and friends that I had that grew up with and all that, lost friends. And again, I'm grown. I was grown. This only happened 7 years ago, so 45 years old. So it's like, come on. So yes, Steve, you were fortunate, and it's a wonderful thing that his mom was accepting. I mean, look, it took a while. I mean, let me tell you, when, you know, my mom loves Jan, and she says Jan is wonderful and stuff, and she treated her with respect and everything, but it took a minute. It took a minute. So it's like, you know, come on. It's just when you've lived this experience, and you know, like I said, I know a lot of my friends that were gay who never admitted that they were gay. It's like, you know, but they couldn't. They didn't have that luxury. They didn't have that freedom because they knew, And that's with anybody. I mean, I'm pretty, like you said, in the redneck community. Was it within any community? But it's just, there's just something, it's again, like I said, I think it's because, you know, we are already marginalized within this community, that to add, you know, and that's where a lot of, like when my mom, you know, was really upset, she's like, you're already marginalized as a Black woman. Why would you choose this? And I'm like, I didn't choose this.
Right. Nobody wakes up and says, hey. Yeah. Let me go over to the stress line and bring Scott into the conversation. I'm not trying to be negligent here, but you still there, Scott?
Yeah. Hi, Bob. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Did
hey,
I tell
Scott.
You the story? Hey, who is that, Steve?
Yeah, that was Steve.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Doing good, friend. Go ahead.
Bob, did I tell you the story a couple of weeks ago of my special iPhone 7 headphones, that earbuds that I'd only had for about 2 months, and I'd come back from the grocery store, and I had to cut open, one of those little plastic shopping bags, and without seeing what I was doing, I cut right through the goddamn cord.
Oh, yes,
and this has that special lightning connector, so Santa Claus brought me a new set of headphones, and I'm using them today to speak to you and the crew.
Well, they're working well, and they don't have that jingly quality to them your other ones did.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I don't want no jingle unless I'm going from a record to another record, and I need a transition.
I always thought you were rattling keys. It did, and I noticed that, too.
And apparently that's an Apple thing, too, because I've noticed it with other people I talk to who I know are talking on iPhones and are using some sort of headset. There's a sort of rattly, jingly kind of thing that goes on when you use their, and maybe it's because the wire has the little microphone attached to it, and maybe it's rubbing against the shirt or something.
Kinky. Anyway, I got a question for Tracy. I can't remember the last time I was on that Tracy was on the call. So, hi, Tracy. You still with us?
Yes. Hey, Scott.
Now, you don't like mayonnaise. Is that right?
Oh, God.
Are you really going there with me with the mayonnaise?
No.
Be careful, Scott. Be careful. You don't know what you're getting into. I almost made the same mistake last week, okay?
I have a serious question, though. Okay. Do you like hollandaise sauce?
No.
Okay. Never mind. I withdraw.
I take that back. Well, if I have
tartar sauce, nothing mayonnaise based.
No tartar sauce. Oh, God, no.
Okay, well, hollandaise.
But I can do hollandaise sauce because I do like eggs benedict.
Oh, yeah, that's where I was going. Oh, man, now I'm hungry for eggs benedict. But, I concur. There is a good deal of homophobia with a lot of Black folks. It might have changed in the last couple of decades somewhat, but I had a friend, I used to work with him actually in the early 70s, and there was a guy that used to ride in to work with him. He lived in I guess Southeast Washington, and he'd come over into Virginia, the place where we worked. And I forget the guy's name, but he always referred to him as his cousin. And finally, after I'd been there a good while, he invited me over, me and a friend,
Kimba,
to smoke something up and drink and, you know, just kind of have a laid-back evening. And it turned out it wasn't his cousin at all. It was his lover. But he had to, you know, he had to have a story. And it just pissed me off. And as far as, you know, a gay music director in a church having to listen to a pastor, I have 6 words. Life's too short. Fuck that shit. I would go find an FCC congregation or a congregation that doesn't have its head up its butt in regard to who people are.
Get a Unitarian church.
Or a Unitarian, yeah.
It's not that easy. I mean, it's especially in certain areas. Where is their Unitarian church?
And yeah, I'm living proof of that. If I want to go to a Unitarian church, I've got to make an investment in 2 hours worth of travel time, and you know, all the way down to Charleston and back. And they're wonderful, lovely people, but no,
except for the Unitarian bigots.
Well, right.
Have you heard about the Unitarian bigots?
Is such a
when
thing?
When they find a group or people,
oxymoron,
that like,
isn't it?
I'm trying to tell you, the Unitarian bigots, the hate mongers of the Unitarian denomination, when they find people that they don't like, in the dead of night, they'll creep up to their house and burn a giant wooden question mark on their front lawn.
Oh no! Okay, that's where you were going, because that's how do you run the Unitarians out of your neighborhood?
We have a Unitarian church here in town, this little town I live in. So it surprises me that, Bob, you'd have to ride 2 hours to find one.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, I can go to all the Baptist churches and Methodist churches and whatnot I want, but I won't darken their door because they're full of hate.
Yeah.
It's the same reason I won't put a single penny in a Salvation Army pot either.
Yeah, I was at Ralph's today to pick up a couple of things, and the woman was out there with her kettle ringing her little happy Christmas bell, and I didn't say anything, and I also didn't put any money in. So, but the other day I kind of left you all hanging. I got one of my tests back from the doctor, and I'm slightly anemic. But interestingly, the symptoms that alarmed me have gone away.
Good.
But I just got off the phone with the other specialist that they referred me to go see, and I won't be able to go into that until January because there's kind of a backlog. But I saw my physician for the follow-up today, and, you know, she said, given the fact that I'm not in any pain or there's no further symptoms, to try to eat stuff that provides iron for the slight anemia and set the appointment and go in when they call me. And that's what I'll do. I mean, I'm feeling good. Maybe people are sending good thoughts because a number of you have, I let you all know, and I let some relatives know. And so hopefully the good ones are sending good thoughts and the bad ones can't find the pins for their voodoo dolls. And maybe they'll make it all work. But I've been out of the loop in terms of news today, but I did see a headline on the Post or New York Times. That kid that ran over that girl and killed her down in Charlottesville got convicted. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good. Good. Well, I like some good news. Like I say, with this George H.W. Bush thing all fucking week, you know, hats off to him for any good that might have been in him. But it got a little tedious there about the fourth day.
Plant the fucker already. Jesus. I mean.
Well, and early on, I mean, you never heard so much oohing and aahing about Sully, the companion dog. I would only ooh and ah over Sully if he had landed Bush's corpse safely on the Hudson, you know, in the dead of winter. You know?
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's deserving for sure.
And my take on Bush, and I kept waiting for somebody to mention it on the news that I did watch, but nobody ever did, so I'll toss it into the mix. George H.W. Bush was a interesting blend of Yankee reserve and Texas bullshittery, and that's about all that can be said about the guy. So I'm sorry for their loss, but it's everybody else's gain, because I think it's a better planet without him walking around on it. And if that makes me a bad person, then fine. I'll be a bad person.
It's been a few years since he's been walking around, Scott, but whatever, yeah.
Well,
Scott,
yeah.
Can I give a viewing recommendation? You're always good enough to pass them on to me.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I've got one for you guys, too.
Okay, have you watched The Amazing Miss Maisel?
Marvelous.
No, but people
the Marvelous.
Keep telling me.
Marvelous Miss Maisel. Yeah, it is. They painstakingly tried to recreate New York via 1950s, and it's loosely based on Joan Rivers. It's about a woman comic and the obstacles that she's had to overcome. And yeah. The character build-up, development, the digital coloring, everything just... One of those things like The Sopranos that you get lost in time when you're watching it, and you don't want it to be over. It really takes you in.
Well, I put it on my list because two or three people told me how good it was, and now you're like the third or fourth.
I hear a groan of despair out there, so there must be some critics.
Well, okay, here's my issue with the show. I mean, it's beautiful. It's well done. The costumes are amazing. The cinematography is amazing. However, we're talking, you know, it's okay. So I have my issues with it because it's just, you know, like, okay, this season they go to the Catskills for 2 months, and it doesn't even talk about why Jewish people had to go to Catskills. You know, it doesn't.
You mean because they weren't welcome in
anywhere else? You know, they weren't welcome in. You know, there's a lot of missed opportunities within this show. I mean, like you said, and the problem what I have with her, she is such a spoiled, entitled brat. I mean, the first episode of the new season, how do you not realize her and her dad don't realize that her mom's been gone for like weeks and went to Paris?
Yeah, but God, Tony Shalhoub is a genius.
Well, see, I don't even watch it really for her, for the girl that Rachel Brosnahan or whatever her name is. I watch it because of Tony Shalhoub. Because Tony Shalhoub is a god. He is so good in this show.
And the guy who plays Joel's father as well.
Kevin Pollak.
Yeah, Kevin Pollak. I mean, my God.
He was in the show Mom briefly. He was, I don't know if you've ever seen that sitcom.
I know it, but I've never watched it.
Yeah, well, he was married to one of the moms, so but enough of that.
Kevin Pollak.
I've always liked Kevin Pollak. Yeah. He's hilarious. And the woman that plays his wife is hilarious, too.
Kevin Pollak, for a couple of years now, has had a podcast, and it's very good. If you like interviews with other famous people from all walks of life, check out the Kevin Pollak podcast. I don't know what the exact name of it is, but, you know, just put in Kevin Pollak and podcast, and you should find the link. But here's my viewing tip. It is a twofer. I noticed the other night that, Amazon Prime has added All the President's Men to its lineup. And it had been a while since I saw it, so I watched it the other night. And then on YouTube...
It's still a good movie.
Oh, it's a great movie. On YouTube, right afterwards, I found a two-hour documentary called All the President's Men Revisited. And I suggest people to watch All the President's Men, and then on YouTube, watch All the President's Men Revisited. It really gives some background about that case that I wasn't even aware of. I don't know why I didn't see it when it was first on a couple of years ago, but it's quite good. It's well worth the 2 hours to watch it.
Hey, before we run out of time, I want to say...
Oh, my God, it's John Ritterbo.
Hey, Tracy. How you doing?
John.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, John.
John.
Hello,
Rick. How's it going, buddy?
Not worth a flip, buddy. Not worth a flip. I'm late. I had a late appointment with the doctor. The doctor was late, so everything ran late. But
yeah, but is everything where it's supposed to be and working okay?
No, no. They got a new young doctor. I belong to a practice I've been with for almost 18 years now, But they got a new doctor, and a new young doctor, and I went in to get a cortisone shot in my shoulder, and young fella hit the right spot.
Ooh.
Because I'm home, and this thing's still killing me.
Ooh.
You know?
So, and you know, cortisone is not a fun high either. I mean,
No. I've been in pretty well misery for about 2 weeks now. And so I had to go today, and I was supposed to do another rant this evening on my show, but never got to it. So I thought, well, I'm going to jump in for the last few minutes to harass the hell out of Bob.
Oh, I'm damn glad you did.
So, John, where the hell were you? I didn't see you in Northern Georgia.
No, I wish I seen y'all's picture. I seen Rick. I seen our host here, Bob. And it's nice to put a face to everybody when you hear everybody talking there.
Too much fun. You were missed.
I damn sure wished I was up there.
You'd have loved it.
Could have made it.
It was a whole bunch of barbecue, John.
Are you shitting me? There you go. I knew I should have been there.
I committed overcue. But better to have too much than too little.
That's right, baby. That's right. Tracy, how have you been, darling? Up there, I didn't see that.
I am good, John.
I am glad, darling. You weren't on there the last time.
I'm sorry to hear that you're in pain. That sucks.
It just reminds you a lot that you're alive, I guess. That's what they always say.
Before I forget, Bob, I'm going to get going. Speaking of must viewing, have you watched 20 Feet from Stardom yet?
No.
Oh.
I'm writing that down. What network's it on?
Netflix. It's a Netflix thing. Okay. It's about these women, black women who were, you know, backup singers in the 60s and the 70s.
Oh, man.
For people like Rolling Stone.
Oh, wow.
What's the name of it again, Tracy?
20 Feet from Stardom.
20 Feet from Stardom.
I'm going to add it to my list now.
And Mary, I can't think of her name, but there's a scene with the woman who did this song with the Rolling Stones. Give Me Shelter.
Oh, yeah. That's immediately who I thought of.
And so they talk about, you know, how she, you know, she talks about how she was, like, really young. And they call her up in the middle of the night. They're in L.A. And they're like, there's this group called the Rolling Stones, and they wanted you to record this song with them. And so she goes down there with her rollers in her hair.
Yeah.
And all that. But she's the you know, what is it, rape, murder? It's just a shot away. Is that what she said? And they just talk and they play that clip. And, you know, I had never, because I think I talked to you about that.
Was she in Dark Side of the Moon too, Tracy?
I don't know.
Isn't that her, Bob, at the end of the Dark Side of the Moon?
I don't know.
The lady who does that solo never got paid for it. And she sued and lost.
Wow. It was Mary Clayton. She's the one that did that song. That's the Mary Clayton and Darlene Love.
Mm.
And Darlene Love is the one that did. She's the one. She used to work with Phil Spector, and she did a lot of songs with him. And she was and he used her voice with other artists. And when she finally thought she got away from Phil Spector. And then somebody sold her contract back to Phil Spector, so I think she was a little happy when his ass went to jail. But he's a horrible person.
A horrible attempted human being.
Yeah, you know. And so, but if you guys ever get a chance, I mean, it's like the movie that you was just talking about, Scott. It was 2 hours that I didn't even realize it was 2 hours. It was just that good.
Mama's big on Netflix, so I'll have her look that up.
Well, I got it queued up here. Let's see if we can get a little bit of that audio. Nah, it's got voiceover to it. Never mind.
It's in my list.
But that note that she pumps out there is just chilling.
It's the
song would not be anything near the same without her.
No, it would not. It's like I said. It's definitely something worth seeing. I mean, and just to see the, and one of the things that they talk about in the movie is how things have changed in the music industry, because a lot of these women were really sought after to do, you know, backup vocals. And then, and now that the music industry has changed and it's all digital and stuff like that, you know, they're of a dying breed. 60s, 70s, and 80s, and basically into the 90s. And there was another, it was a family group that, for Michael Jackson and Luther Vandross, and just when they play the clips of these songs, and you're like, oh my God, you know? And they said a lot of people, because guys are, I mean, I like music, but I'm not a musical I don't know a lot about music as far as artists and stuff are concerned, and, you know, but I know, you know, but they talk about the riff and how so many people, they sang that part more than they sang the song.
It's, you know, it's the part that they remember. Yeah,
It grabs you. It grabs you. It really does. And just for the record, it was not Dark Side of the Moon. That story, so... Just
okay. Yeah, different. Yeah, two different people.
Yeah, but they kind of sound alike.
Two different people who both got ripped off, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Unfortunately.
So, well, on that note, I am going to boogie, guys. Thank you for... Well,
nice talking to you, Tracy.
All right. If the pork loin works out, there will be food porn photos this weekend.
More food. Oh, and Tracy, call me to make an arrangements to get your Kaneka, okay?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Okay. Take care, babe.
Take care, Tracy.
Night, guys.
Have a wonderful weekend, Tracy. You take care now.
You too.
And that's Tracy, the lady cab driver, off to the weekend. And okay, so it's 9 minutes before the hour. Last little reminder: we came into the program with 360 to raise, 380 to raise. Steve got us down to 360. Thank you, Steve and Karen, and little Cletus and little Twiggy. Who, by the way, Steve? Did they give you the stink eye when you got home?
Oh, they didn't know the dogs were permissible. Yeah, man. Cletus is still, she still ain't right with me, so.
Yeah, I was afraid that would happen. They know, you know, because they can smell that
They're intuitive.
They can smell that other, dog on you. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You bet your butt every time I go pet one of mine, look at me like I'm a traitor.
Was it Tracy the other night said, yeah, they can smell a liberal on you, Bob? Who was that? Yeah, it's the same principle. But anyway, well, we're going to finish the week with 360 to go. That means 560 come Monday if something doesn't happen over the weekend. But I just wanted to take a moment before we shut down and everything and say thanks for keeping it from being far worse than it was with a big night last night. Thank you very, very kindly. Very kindly indeed. So
Bob, let's make it 340. I'll meet Steve's challenge at 20. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
well, that sounds
Rick.
Great. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it.
Sure.
There you go.
All right. 340 is a hell of a lot better than 360. So thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick. Any concert action this week?
Weekend? Stevie Wonder has his house full of toys. Hold on. I got to get the playbill. He's got a lot of guests.
Boy, Hattie.
I'm
living my life wrong. I think that's what it is.
Well, yeah, but by the same token, he's got all the Billable Rick's got all the wonders of the entertainment complex of Southern California. But man,
yes,
you got peace and tranquility on the Nueces River. So, you know.
That's what I got.
There you go.
Keep reminding me of that, Bob. There's been no peace and no tranquility around here for several weeks.
Well,
I was telling Rick that Tom Jones is coming to the ATL. I'm kind of excited about that.
And see, that's kind of like me, John. I got to toddle around Atlanta for in the North Georgia Mountains for a little bit, and damn, it was fun to be back in civilization. But I'll tell you the truth, I got back up here and got my little acre, and it ain't much, but it's home.
What did Dorothy say?
I love mine.
Yeah,
I'd love it a whole lot better if I wasn't having to deal with some sewer problems that are a result of the last flood we have.
Be
a whole lot more tranquil, but it ain't been that way here lately.
So here's the lineup, folks.
All right, get to us, Rick.
Stevie Wonder's guests that we know of anyway so far are Anderson Paak, P-A-A-K, Leon Bridges, Daly,
Shantae Moore, Ella May or Mai, PJ Morton, Roe James, and Fourth Avenue. But yeah, I don't know who they are. I don't know who else they are. But this year he's going to be performing cover to cover his Stevie Wonder Song Party, A Celebration of Life, Love, and Music. So apparently it's like a sounds like a greatest hits album. So he's going to be playing great.
That sounds like it'll be a blast.
It you know, you said, yeah.
You mentioned Tom Jones, and I promise you, right now I'm sitting here looking at a picture that my wife has always had framed up here. That picture was taken probably 30-something years ago. She's on her way to go see Tom Jones. She's wearing a little blue dress. She's got her leg kicked out, and that dress is hiked all the way up to that thigh, baby. And she's letting me know I'm on my way to see Tom Jones.
Well, talk about a snake eye. If I don't take Karen to see Tom Jones, man, I will never live that one down, you know. I'd kind of like to see him, too. The guy's a legend.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Oh, hell yeah.
A long time, baby.
You is know. He going to be down?
I
is he going to be down at the Fabulous Fox, Steve?
2 years ago,
Atlanta Symphony Hall, Bob.
Well, that won't be shabby either. Pretty decent acoustics there.
Yep.
And
big time.
And by the way, on the way out the door, I want to get back to the topicality of things real quick. I find it interesting that there have been several commentators on several different news networks who have talked about. Let's see. Here's the acting Solicitor General for Barack Obama's presidency, a fellow by the name of Neil Katyal, and he told MSNBC Donald Trump committed a felony. And here's Jeffrey Toobin telling CNN that once again. Donald Trump, Department of Justice today, in the most explicit terms, said the President of the United States committed two felonies.
Two felonies. Right?
And here's the funny thing, and Rick, we've discussed this in the past, and I think we are of one mind on it. It ain't two felonies; it's four. And why aren't they saying that? Because for each felony that he committed in conjunction with Cohen, there goes with that an accompanying conspiracy.
Conspiracy, right.
So
they noted that was not mentioned in the charges today.
There were two substantive acts, but there were two conspiracies to commit the substantive acts, and the two don't merge.
So the two substantive acts were what again, Bob?
The violation of campaign finance laws in directing Cohen to pay off Stormy
and Karen McDougal.
And Karen McDougal.
Right. So those are the two separate acts then, because there were two separate payoffs, right?
Right. But they had to come to an agreement to do the illegal thing. So that would be a conspiracy charge.
Yeah, 2 + 2 = 4, man. Yeah, exactly. Last I checked.
Oh, we're not done with this yet. I haven't had enough time to. Like I said, I was at the doctor's office all evening. I haven't had time to jump into it. I didn't do a regular rant today, but I'm going to do one tomorrow because that's what I want to talk about.
Hey, speaking of rants, John.
Yes, sir.
I notice a lot of Beto buzz with regard to running for president. He's like, I think, in the top three choices of progressives right now, I think.
That makes me smile, Rick.
Yeah.
It does me too, John, but I gotta break in here for a second. Huh. I want Beto to get a big win under his belt first. It is
scary. Congressman.
I want him to replace John Cornhole.
Yes. that would be fine. He's not going away.
No, he's not. And I come back to what I've said before. It would be huge in 2020 if we could cut the head off the Republican Senate snake and take out both number one and number two in the Republican Senate caucus. Take out Mitch McConnell and take out John Cornhole.
John Cornhole. Yes, sir. I think we're gonna have help with that. I really do. I am holding to my guns that the shit is gonna get so deep that it's gonna be an embarrassment to call yourself a Republican if they don't do something.
Yeah, but I got one thing by way of just a sort of curb your enthusiasm, cool your jets kind of moment, because I am, after all, Bob.
Go ahead. Shoot my duck out of the sky. Go ahead, Bob.
Bob Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine. That's me.
That's you.
Steve in New York pointed this out early in the program, and I think he is right. He said with regard to the nomination of Barr to be attorney general, he said the following. Remember the constant stream of bullshit we hear about Trump destroying the Republican Party or Trump ain't a real Republican? I think William Barr accepting this position puts the lie to how different the GOP has become. Okay? Because that's a George W. Bush attorney general special.
And H-W.
So there's plenty of Republicans out there apparently who, you know, come from the stodgy old Republican guard who are more than willing
to dip deep.
Who are more than willing to get down in the slop and waller with the pig.
And they're going to get Trump crap smeared all over them just like everybody else that comes in contact with the man. It'll be an asterisk next
week. We can only hope that, John.
Yeah. Well, we got to make it. We're going to make it. I swear. I'm in it for the long haul, baby.
Well, I was going to rub it in their face. I was going
to
ask you one thing, John. With all this indictment business coming out, are you checking the edge on your beard trimming scissors?
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. A great conversation with that young doctor today in the office there today because I mentioned the fact that, yeah, well, I'm supposed to be on a show from 5 to 8 this evening, and I'm not going to make it. Well, what show? And I went on to tell him about it, and I told him, I said, there was several thousand people waiting to see this beard get shut up. So, yeah, I'm eyeballing it, baby. it came to mind during the Bush funeral up there when the Oak Ridge Boys was, or who was that, the Oak Ridge Boys singing up there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, guy with a real long beard.
Yeah,
I was looking at Mama going, no. It ain't going to get that long.
ZZ Top looks at that dude and goes, fuck it.
I can't keep up with that shit. So. But it is pretty damn long, and I am eyeballing those scissors.
I couldn't stand it anymore. I gave up and shaved while I was in Georgia, John.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, you shaved in that picture?
Yeah.
Rick, I can't remember right now if he was.
Yes, yeah, you were, I left him.
I'll take your word for it. I'll go back and check, though, to make sure you ain't lying to me.
I left a mustache, but, you know.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, now, I've made that very clear to people. When he goes, the beard goes. The mustache stays. That mustache been on my lip all my life. My wife has seen me without a mustache only once.
And I don't ever want to see it again.
I don't. No, never again. So the mustache stays, the beard goes.
That's a beautiful thing. Stays. Well, John, I'm sorry. Your doctor's aim was something less than perfect.
I'm hoping by the time I wake up in the morning, it works its way in there or whatever. But right now I don't have a whole lot of confidence. He hit that socket just right. So,
ouch.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, it's pretty bad. But Bob, we just bite the bullet and keep going, buddy.
Well, right. You know, I mean, and you're a Texan. I mean, you've drunk water out of a muddy hoof print and shit. So I have.
I've drank out of a horse trough before, baby. You have to swish the top of the water to get the germs away, and then just stick your lips about, I don't know, 6 inches down or so. You can get you a nice, clean drip. But I want you to know, Bob, I'm enjoying that book that fellow sent me from West Virginia.
Oh, good.
Really? Yes, it's really. My wife and I are reading it together. Well, she's reading it. I'm listening. My wife's a good reader. So
sometimes that's the best way to read a book.
I can picture what he's talking about in the mountains of West Virginia just so clearly. He's a very descriptive writer. Pretty good. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, it sounds like a dandy. I'm going to have to check it out in my own right.
I'm at a chapter where he's talking about Miss Woody when he was in school before integration,
And he didn't want integration. It's a black fellow writing the book. And when it was ordered, he really didn't want to. But he made the best of it, he said. And but he was talking about the West Virginia school teacher that he had, Miss Woody, and she was pretty strict. But I'm enjoying the read. It paints a colorful picture of West Virginia, I'm telling you. Real pretty.
Well, we can be a colorful place, and John, if we ever get that horn end pulled together like Steve from Georgia Stan wants us to do, by George, you are on the invite list without a doubt.
Well, appreciate it. So,
well, I guess we'll wrap it up this evening. Glad to have you aboard, John, just for a little while. It's always good to hear from you.
And, I'm sorry I was so late there, Bob.
Oh, don't beat yourself up. You just get that shoulder better and have a better weekend. And, you know, there's not enough to be said for proper plumbing. So,
no, that's true.
The baby steps, man, baby steps.
That's what we'll take. But I appreciate it, Bob. Thank you.
All right, you take care. And Billable Rick, thanks for jumping in there at the end. I appreciate it. And thank you to Steve from Georgia Stan as well. And thanks always go out to Sparky for moderating our little conversation every Friday. Thank you very kindly. Thanks, Steve and Sparky in the chat room this weekend, or this week. And thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you very kindly to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And yeah, we end, well, it'll be $540 come Monday if anybody else wants to help out over the course of the weekend. That sure would be appreciated. Just run on over to headon.live and hit the PayPal button. That's how we keep this whole thing going. That's how we keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks and all the packets passing. So thank you, each and every one of you who keeps the program on the air. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. And so with that, I will wish everybody a happy weekend. And, well, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.